Gentlemen, as you know, the ultimate warrior.
Fuck it. It's publicly stated that, damn it, who put that up? Is that $200 an hour?
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Ooh, yeah!
We've been waiting for a long time. Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time. We've been waiting for a long time. But we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're gonna 1, 2, 3, 4.
For 6.5 years, we are your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back, we be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, and forever, hopefully forever, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Yoda of yesteryear, the Mac Daddy himself, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. And I'm joined by
the resident gypsy culture himself, Choppy!
Gypsy culture.
Yeah!
And my little brother Michael is in the room.
What's up, what's up?
Hey, Mike!
Okay, terrific.
Everybody's happy. My brother is joining us for the weekend.
I'll tell you right now, he's much nicer than you. You're a piece of shit.
This is true, man.
Will you stop?
Hello to everybody on rantyamradio.com. We are part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always. And we are on Facebook Live. Here's the deal with Facebook Live. I bought this fucking camera microphone setup thing, and I couldn't get the camera to work on the computer that I'm broadcasting on. So you're not going to hear the soundboard or the music and shit. You're just going to hear us fucking for now until I get it fixed. I had no time to fix it. So I had just gotten like not even 24 hours.
Sounds like a you problem.
Sounds like a you problem indeed. Mike Norenganga joining us from the Midnight Jury. Harry.
Hey, Mikey.
Cuzzy Rich. Melanie. Hi, Melanie. And then who else is here? Axel Foley's in the building, Mr. Jamie Wallace.
Oh, my wife is watching too.
Oh, yeah. The camera's angled perfect. Thank you.
That's my job. That was me.
Kim Crean, the wife of Metal Thunder Radio. Hello, Kim. And that's pretty much it. How's everybody doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. 4 days in, and it's not too bad.
I feel good.
I feel really good. I feel really good.
I feel terrific.
Do you know?
I really do.
You feel terrific?
Okay, terrific.
If you guys want to listen to the sounds and shit, just put on the Rant Ian radio feed. And you just watch our fucking ugly faces for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, terrific.
So my brother's joining us. And
wait a minute. Phone call?
No, Shaylin, we're not taking calls, mama.
Shaylin, we're not taking calls yet.
We're taking one call.
Yeah, and that's
Mr. Rob Domingo.
The Mandingo.
He's calling from G-Pan. From G-Pan. He's calling from the land of the rising sun.
In the middle of all those Japs.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
And it starts.
Ring that bell. We found the bell. The inappropriate bell.
Yes. Yeah, man.
Yeah, so listen, this is going to be our new home right now.
We're in Studio C.
Studio C. You got Studio A in North Arlington. Studio B is in Parsippany, New Jersey. And Studio C for Choppy is now in what part of Staten Island is this?
This is, I believe, Bull's Head.
Bull's Head.
Apropos, considering the fact we've got the Brahma Bull on the pay-per-view today.
That's right. The people's champ, the Brahma Bull. The most electrifying man in sports entertainment today.
Oh, it
doesn't matter what your name is. I don't know, but we're not taking calls.
Is that the Mandingo, maybe?
I don't even know. Hold on. I don't know
who that was.
I hung up on him.
I'm sorry, guys. We're only taking one call, and it's from Rob Domingo. We're truly sorry. We appreciate the calls, but not tonight, guys. I'm sorry.
I don't know. So was someone trying to call us at least? I don't even know.
I don't know, dude.
I don't know.
I didn't get anything. That definitely was not I don't think that was anybody for us. At least I don't think. It could have been for us, but we don't know who it is, unfortunately.
Right.
Anyways, I just want to say thank you very much, guys, for continuing to support us.
Yeah.
In this long break that we've had.
Oh, there we go.
And I just want to say thank you very much. We really appreciate you guys for sticking behind us through all the drama. In our personal lives.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for not fucking stop listening to the show. Really. That's pretty much the bottom line. Because honestly, as of like October, I wasn't doing a show anymore.
Yeah, it was getting really, really, really like, you know,
yeah,
down and bad. But again, we want to thank you all for continuing to join us here tonight. I feel like it's, even though it's just a regular episode, I feel like it's a special episode, you know. Like one of those, like, special, like, you know, like almost like the Christmas special we did with the Wizards. And
yeah.
Feels special today, you know? And I want to say thank you to my beautiful wife for providing this little shindig for us. It's still, it's a work in progress, but it's definitely. She's been our big supporter and helping us keep the show. She wanted us to keep doing it.
Shining Wizards Tony in the room. No, I cannot get into the playpen. He said he'll always stick behind Choppy. I wonder why. Harry wants to know, is that Choppy's bed in the background?
You like that bed? You better
I'll
like
be
that.
Happy just to see Phil's face behind that effing hat.
Ooh.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Get rid of the fucking hat, you mook.
Shut up. I'm bald and fat. Leave me alone.
I'm bald and fat too, jerk off.
Don't judge me. Don't you fucking. Uptown Georgie wants to know how come my brother looks like one of the Briscoe brothers.
He does, dude. You do look like fucking Jay Briscoe. Do you have a chicken farm?
No.
I figured I'd ask.
He doesn't have a chicken farm. Okay. No. I like that beard. You like this beard? You better like this beard. That's no lie.
Damn right.
Anyway, so yeah, like Choppy said, thank you everybody for fucking hanging out with us and sticking with us. We're going to be back on a regular basis starting tonight. And we have a lot of content to give you guys, starting with tonight. We're going to have a call from Japan in a couple of minutes. Mr. Mandingo is calling in.
Yeah.
And we're going to get his undrunk recap of Wrestle Kingdom 13, because he was fucking plastered last year.
No, Rob, stop!
He had these like these iced teas he was telling me, but he talked about it for the whole year after that, so they must have been good. So I asked him not to get drunk this time, and he promised me he wouldn't get drunk.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, he didn't get drunk, thank God.
No.
But almost 40,000 people in the fucking Tokyo Dome this morning.
Really? I thought they sold it out.
No, they can't sell it out. It's 80,000 seats. They'll never sell that
out. Oh, it's 80,000?
Yeah,
I thought
it was 40. It's a ginormous place. So it's as big as a football stadium. One of the, you know, like it's big. It's as big as a small football stadium.
Okay,
you know. So yeah, man. So we got a lot of stuff going on, and I don't know. I feel like a resurgence with us. You know, we got together a couple weeks ago before the Christmas show, and we were like, you know what? I finally got myself settled, and I was like, you know what? I can start dedicating more time to this and.
Correct.
And knock everything out. And our peers have been nothing but fucking fantastic with us, man.
Yes,
and
they have.
And a lot of support from everybody from all the shows. And you guys have been, and even like the fans of the show have been reaching out to us. Our UK contingency. I mean, just a bunch of fucking great people we have around us. So it's been a deal, man. It's been a deal. But we're gonna fucking get through it now. It's gonna be fantastic, you know. You know what? What if I just turn my hat around? Would that be better for everybody? Because I'm getting
Because we want to see that gorgeous face of yours.
Like the gorgeous face.
You're super.
Hey, gorgeous.
Hello, so, gorgeous.
Hello, oh yeah. That's it. Where's my soundboard? Hello, gorgeous.
I don't know. You should.
I have it up. I know. You're right. Shut up. Fuck. You fucking douche.
Hello, gorgeous.
So my brother has not been on the show, but he is finally here, and we have a story we're going to share, and Choppy does not know about the story, so I'm glad about that.
Can't wait to hear this.
And my brother's a casual wrestling fan, and he's also a good boy, and he raised a good man, and he inspired me in a lot of ways, because around the time he was in the military, I was again going through some really bad shit. And watching my brother graduate from the Marines and him serving overseas and then him coming home being a fucking stud, you know, he fucking motivated me. And on top of that, if it wasn't for him and the Marine Corps and the rest of the fucking servicemen and women, we wouldn't be able to do the podcast. So thank you for that.
Thank you. You're making me blush.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's what we're here for.
I mean, outside of the fucking beard that the people, homeless people living in. You know, do you oil that shit? You put the oils in it and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have beard oil?
Yeah, I condition it and then oil it.
You wear flannel jackets at home in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you go to bed bug clubs?
Yeah.
Yep, you do. I know. Do you have a messenger bag?
No, that I don't.
Yeah,
good God. Oof. Really? You could compare him to a hipster? Stop.
Yeah, every day.
Stop.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Just saying.
Stop. What part of Brooklyn are you from?
He's not from Brooklyn.
I'm from Queens.
You're from Queens, but do you live in Brooklyn?
I live in Brooklyn. I live in Marine Park.
Oh, that's not hipster country at all. Marine Park is nice, dude.
Let's see. Harry, that's the Stone Crabs. It's a minor league baseball team of the Rays, Tampa Bay Rays.
Look at all the comments. My God.
Camera shot looks awesome. Thank you. Matt Squires in the room. What's up, Matt Squires?
Matty!
Now we got Fred Durst. Look at Harry fucking calling me Fat Fred Durst. He looks like a Briscoe. I'm rolling. Thanks. Yes, thank you. Uptown Georgia says thank you for your service. So, my brother's in the house tonight, and we're going to have a good show. We got a lot of good things to talk about, man. Good things.
Good things.
Much good things, man. And Choppy took notes. Show everybody your notes, Chop. Dude.
That's right.
You know what? And I'm not. He never not comes prepared, but the fact that he took notes, I like that. It's a step up for you, man. I like that. I appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
That's what I'm here for, he says. That's what I'm here for. Oh, we found the bell. I found the bell loading up the equipment today. So we got the bell back. We got the fucking WWE Legends poster on the side of us.
We got the Phil back. We got the mic.
We got the Phil. It's going to be fantastic. You know? Let's see. What's the comments here? Mets? No. Not. We missed yous. Yeah, we missed yous too.
We missed yous
over here. I'm over here now, jerk off. Jerk off. Where is it?
I'm over here now.
That's right. All right, so while waiting for Rob, I guess we'll get into some of the news and notes and fucking nonsense.
Do you want to talk Wrestle Kingdom, or do you want to talk about the minor stuff first?
I'll wait till Rob calls in with Wrestle Kingdom.
All right, so I got one little tidbit. Tony Storm, the winner of the Mae Young Classic this year, or 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she took down a lot of her social media, Instagram and Twitter, due to the fact that a lot of photos were released online.
You mean sexual photos?
Apparently, sexual photos were released. They were leaked online by hackers.
Explicit?
Apparently, very explicit. Apparently, she also she released a statement saying that a lot of those photos were probably when she was like 17 or 18.
So. You know, here's what bothers me about that shit.
So,
like,
I don't know.
If you know your career path, okay, and most of these chicks do know their career path because they've been fucking training since they're kids, right?
Correct.
Why would you fucking pose naked or... or risque, you know what I'm saying? And then get mad when 5 years later your fucking tits are all over fucking Instagram.
Well, apparently she said that it was a disgruntled boyfriend that probably did it. And I honestly, at this point, who cares? I mean, like, you're right. They should be more mindful of what they fucking do online, honestly, because it's very easy for one of these photos to land in the iCloud. People hack into your iCloud. They get a hold of all your... unmentionables, and then it's over. I mean, it could be a career changer for you, you know?
That's why I told my brother. Me and my brother were talking to your wife a little while ago. I was like, even when I had the iPhone, I did not fuck with the cloud at all. No. All my shit was manual. I backed it up to my computer. I was like, nah, I'm not with that nonsense.
I'm not a big fan of the whole iCloud thing, so. No.
Yeah.
And then that was one bit of news that I saw this week. Thoughts on Mean Gene?
Yeah, 10 bell salute. I could have played like 17 different promos on Mean Gene. I just took the one that we liked the most. And we play his sound bits all the time, like this one.
Fuck it.
And this one.
Put that cigarette out.
76 years young. Choppy and I were contemplating, my buddy Neil in the room. What's up, Neil? Choppy and I were contemplating going to a 80s wrestling convention in late April in Freehold, New Jersey. And what had happened was, the main reason why was because Mean Gene was going to be there.
Correct.
And since he cut that promo for us last year, and Choppy and Rob and the rest of the guys have been talking to him on social media, we figured, you know what? Why don't we just go there? And I'll pay for it. I don't care. Just to shoot this shit with him and just have him, you know, pick on Choppy more and make sound bites out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt Squires, don't do foolish things on your phone. You're right. You're right. Mario from the Barrios in the room. What up, champ? And, yeah, so, you know, but that bothers me, though. It's like, these chicks are like even with Paige. Like, Paige was in a wrestling family.
Yeah, she should have known better. You know?
And she's taking dick knee-deep on video.
Bro, she took a cum shot on her face and on the title
belt. And on her championship belt.
It's insane.
She did, Mike. She did.
It's very true.
She did. Yep.
It was
Thank God I have a good-looking dick, man. Because anybody just wants to post my shit, I'd be like, you know what? My shit looks good.
Was that, by the way, was that, what's his name's dick? Not Byron Saxton.
That was, what's his face?
The white dude that looked like Eric Bischoff.
No, the other guy. Didn't she mess with Xavier Woods?
Yeah, but Xavier Woods didn't give her the cum shot in the face, did he?
No, the other guy did. Forgot his name already, damn it.
Yeah.
What the hell was his name?
He looked like Eric Bischoff.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, dude, he was the fucking GM for a little while?
Yeah, he was.
Guys, help us out. Who's the fucking clown that was?
He was the clown that was a GM of Raw.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, come on, man. What the hell was this guy? He had nice hair.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
He did have nice hair. Brad Maddox. Thanks, Tony.
There
G.
you go. Thank you.
She's British, though, Harry said. British girls are freaky. Yo, Harry's right, man. I recently got porn tube on my Roku, right?
Yeah.
And you can watch all that shit in 4K now, which is delightful. But they have this thing called Fake Taxi, right? And it's all British chicks taking dick in a fucking back of a cab. It is the funniest shit you'll ever see in your lifetime. Brad Max. Everybody's saying Brad Max. Thank you. But yeah, no, Harry's right, man. Harry, what the fuck time is it in England? It's got to be like 2 o'clock in the morning over there.
Well,
right?
If it's a 5-hour difference, it was you're probably right.
I lost count. Yeah,
it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
You can't fuck with Phil math. Phil's terrible at math.
No.
But I am. I'm terrible at math. Look at here. I fuck with Fake Taxi. See? Mario knows Fake Taxi, but those British chicks are freaks, man. They take dick all over that cab. It's outstanding. Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
Thank you. Pat Patterson, Matt Squire says.
Okay.
Matt Squires.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. What is it? Pat Patterson.
Okay, faggot. What's next?
Hey-o. He goes, I fuck with fake taxi. I love that. Harry says, I know a girl works in a pub literally 1 mile from my house. It was on fake taxi. It's 2 a.m. Yo. See, I'm not surprised.
I mean, if it's that popular in the UK, then God bless them for trying to do that, you know?
You ain't lying. You are not lying.
You know, it is what it is.
All right, Chops, so what else you got?
Thoughts on the new promotion, AEW, All Elite Wrestling.
Well, I mean, the Bucks, Cody, and I guess Kenny Omega finally wrapped up their New Japan commitments today. Correct. And tomorrow. So we'll talk about Wrestle Kingdom when Rob calls in. But listen, Phil Math, better than Steiner Math.
Very true.
Thanks, Mario. Shaylin, thanks for checking in, Mom. I know you're working. All right. You know me. More wrestling is good wrestling.
Of course.
You know, like, I really don't care either way. Even if it's bad, it's just if there's more exposure, more to marry. I'm with that. They're getting backed by a billionaire, right? This guy who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, it's the Khan, Tony Khan.
Khan, right?
Yeah.
So they're getting bankrolled. I'm pretty sure they're going to have some working agreements with, like, ROH and New Japan and some other promotions, maybe Lucha Underground.
I'm actually hoping. But here's the thing. You know, Cody's the, hold on, his title.
Brandy is the, his wife Brandy is the chief,
She's the chief branding officer.
He took notes. I love this.
She's the chief branding officer, and then Cody's the executive vice president of AEW. So, honestly, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do hear rumors. There's already rumors that Goldberg wants to sign and Jericho wants to sign.
Rob says, I tune in. You guys talking about cum shots. I got to call in now. All right, Rob, whenever you're ready, we'll take your call and we'll get right into Wrestle Kingdom. What else? I'm sorry. You're one of my thoughts, right?
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Do you think it's going to be a good deal? I mean, I know you think it's going to be more wrestling is good, but do you think it's going to be a competition?
No.
Okay.
No.
And why?
Because there's no competition. And I spoke about that months and months and years ago. There is no more competition. WWE has the market on sports entertainment. That's it. As bad as it is now, as bad as the main product is now, it's still a global fucking market. It's still a name. It's still a brand. And the bottom line is getting a brand.
Correct.
If you can get a brand and establish yourself, then you're fine. With this, though, this just adds another layer to what's going on. And we talked about this 4 years ago, about the resurgence of the independents, the resurgence of Japan, the resurgence of pro wrestling, not sports entertainment. Now you have more options. So it's not per se competition.
But it's more alternative.
It's now. More – exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm not changing subject.
Go ahead.
Shining Wizards Tony Z. He was wondering if we could plug something for one of his wrestler.
Oh, 100%.
Wrestler's name is Jerry Gray. Tony told me there's two auctions that he's running on eBay for this wrestler,
mm-hmm.
and he says they're really good items, and he wants to know if we could plug it on, if he could put the links on the Facebook feed.
100%.
Yes, you can, sir. Do it.
I don't even have, you don't even have to ask, like, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, he wanted to ask just out of respect, you know. But Tony's, that's how Tony is. He's a nice guy. I like that.
Yeah. Harry said that guy from the Jaguars tried to buy Wembley Stadium.
Well.
Because he wanted to have the Jaguars move to London.
Not going back to that topic, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. You think there's no such thing as competition. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us, turn down your radio, joining us from the land of the rising sun is our brother, Mr. Mandingo.
Rob.
Hello. What's all this, then?
Hello, cunt. What's up, cunt? How are you?
I heard you talking about cum shots.
Ring that bell.
That's great.
What's up, brother? What time is it over there in Hapan?
11:30 a.m.
On Saturday.
I was out pretty late, so this is actually good because I just woke up.
God.
I didn't get the bad taste of Jay White out of my system.
You know, you like that switchblade in your mouth.
Wait, what happened with you and Jay White, dude? Choppy started telling me, and I cut him off on accident. So
okay, so I went to the Fale party, and pretty cool guy. A lot of marks went out, a lot of local marks, a lot of, Gaijin marks. then he started bringing in like wrestlers. Cody Hall was there.
Cody Hall was there.
He brought it.
He's not.
He had a really hot Asian chick.
Not surprised.
I think that's his girlfriend or wife. Then Tangaloa came. Hanari was there. Red Shoes was there. Tamatanga, and I took photos of all of them because they were pretty cool. They're just happy to be there. And then fucking Jay White comes in. The place goes nuts for Jay White. And I start this fucking protest of Jay White. Like, what is up with the Jay White experiment? I do not understand. And like 10 other guys are like, yeah, man, I don't get it. They're pushing him under Chaos. They're pushing him under Bullet Club. The guy has no charisma. It's like, yeah, he's got to do something. He's got to do something to like win us over. So at least like, you know, be cool with the crowd. He comes in, he's literally legit to his heel character. Does not take a photo with anybody. He signs like one thing, and like all these girls are asking for photos. He's like, no, not today. And he like, Choppy looked at the photos, like, taking the photos, like a group photo, he did not want to be there. He was there for probably like 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah, he seemed very unhappy on the photo that I saw. I was like,
Yeah. And then like, Jado came, it was pretty cool. So that was the pre Wrestle Kingdom party. Wrestle Kingdom itself was a different experience. What did you guys think?
Well, before we get into that, I want to let everybody know that if you want to listen to Rob talk about Wrestle Kingdom, put on the Rant EM feed because the camera is not set up for audio yet to get the audio from the show. We're working on that. The camera, we literally just took it out of the box before the show. So if you want to listen, you want to listen to Rob talk about and all the sounds that we're playing on the soundboard. Go to the Rant EM feed. I apologize for that, but it's what it is. So you have been gallivanting beforehand, and you're doing some sights.
How was Ribera Steakhouse?
How was
buddy?
Ribera? That's where I was getting at actually.
It was very good. I timed myself eating it, and I went to the second location, which is the bigger location, because the first one in Gotondo was closed for the holidays. Because I went there first, and like all these marks are there, like, oh man, fucking Meiji holidays, like they're always closed from like the 28th to the 3rd, because like New Year's is a huge deal in Japan. So I took a cab to Meguro, which is their second location, and there's probably like a 20-minute line. And so that was by myself. They're like, oh yeah, you can seat like right away. So they took my order before I even entered the establishment. Steak is pretty good. It's legit. It's a really good piece of I think it's sirloin. I had a medium rare and I think I ate it in like 7 minutes. I probably spent at most 15 minutes in the establishment. So I had to go to Shibuya to go to that party. So I didn't spend much time in it. I did take some photos. I think I posted it on the page. I do want to go to the original location before I leave. So I think after the marks leave town, I'll probably head out there.
How long are you staying? Another week?
Another week.
Whoa.
I've been here, this is my, a whole week already. I got here last Saturday. I feel like I've been here a couple weeks already, so.
Nice. But, you know, back to Wrestle Kingdom, I'm sorry. Almost 40,000 this year, right? They said 38,000 plus paid. I want to ask you, because you were there last year. Before you got inebriated last year, was the crowd bigger, or was it Robbie there?
Hello? Yeah.
Okay. Was the crowd bigger this year, or was it less?
It was bigger. I saw in the outfield sections of the dome that they did take up a little bit more. It was more than half. But in the Gaijin section, I was in Arena B, which is kind of like the outer circle on the floor. I was actually closer this year. There were a lot of empty seats, which I found interesting. And those seats are fucking tight, so the crew I was sitting next to, like, you have to be friendly with whoever you're sitting next to because you're going to be there for like 5-6 hours. Like, we were kind of like scrunched up. And I was like, dude, I'm like literally one row ahead of you guys because there are 3 seats in front of us. No one's thinking. Like, yeah, that'd be great. So I sat like on 3 seats the whole time, like with my legs spread out, like fucking Rick James.
So go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
So I was talking with this morning. I was talking with Mario and a bunch of other guys who were up early with us. Cousin Anthony, cousin Jamie, were watching it with us. And I asked, shout out to Kevin Gill, by the way. Kevin Gill's in the room. I had this conversation with Kevin too on Facebook. That I felt the card was good, but it felt rushed. Was it just me?
Oh yeah.
No, right. I agree.
No. You're right. But it ended at 9:30 local time, and I remember last year it ended at 10 p.m. But yeah, you're right. The card felt rushed. There weren't any intermissions. I don't think there was an intermission last year, per se, maybe after the Gimmick Battle Royal. But yeah, they just, like, you know, ended one match, then did the promo for the next match, like, while the wrestlers from the previous match were leaving. So there was, like, no time. Like, I don't know why they were rushing it, but... And it felt like the matches were shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Okada match was significantly shorter for him, like compared to the last 2 years.
Yeah,
well, if you being that you were there live, what was probably the best live reaction to any of the matches that were there?
I'd say when Okada came out with his Rainmaker gimmick instead of Vacation Okada.
Okay.
And then when Naito came out, Naito's fucking over, man.
He's way over.
Big time.
He's way over.
Gaijin and locals, he's way over. When they announced that January 5th, 2020 will be in the Dome, that was huge. Like, the guys I was sitting with, they're like, dude, we can't get fucking tickets for Cork and Hall. They really gotta change the venue. Like, maybe we'll do the Sumo Hall. Literally, a minute later, they showed this promo. Fucking January 5th, Tokyo Dome. We, like, lose our shit. So I don't know if it's Wrestle Kingdom for 2 days, or is it Wrestle Kingdom on the 4th and then New Year's Dash on the 5th? I don't know, but it's going to be in a dome.
Very cool.
So that's going to be awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that was another pop. And then when Jericho came out, it was a big pop. And the last match, Tanahashi's still over. Everybody loves that guy.
Fuck Ace.
I sold this to Michael this morning. I'm like, I don't understand Choppy's disdain for Tanahashi.
I'm not an Ace fan. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not into him.
Well, from what I saw yesterday, are we talking about the matches yet? But
no. Well, yeah. Let's get into it. Okay. I mean, let me just pull up the match selection. I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. The gauntlet match for the never open weight 6-man straps. That was a good match.
Pretty good.
But it was Bullet Club versus Finley, Yuji Nagata, and Jeff Cobb. I can't believe Yuji Nagata is still fighting. And
dude, Nagata was over for like the first 2 matches.
Nagata's great. 50 years old.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah. Again, if you guys want to hear Rob on the audio feed, go to the rant. Go to rantemradio.com and click on the link to listen live. We don't have the audio connected to the camera, so I'm sorry about that. People are asking about that, so I'm sorry. So that was.
They should be listening to the rant anyway.
They should be listening to the rant.
That is correct.
Correct. Thank you. So, and they, again, and then let's see what else is going on here. So yeah, all right. So that was, and then the Makabe and Taguchi and Yano won that.
That was interesting to see them together.
Yeah,
because they haven't been together for like what, 10 years?
Yeah, something like that. When
Nagata went against Suzuki-gun or Minoru Suzuki, the place erupted, and they're like, "Oh crap! Like, look at these old dudes."
See,
there's a rivalry there. Definitely.
Even KG's like, Choppy, not a Tanahashi fan. He's cooler than the bee's knees,
yeah.
And he is a probably nice fellow. He's the John. I tell my brother this morning, he's the John Cena of New Japan.
He is, but
yeah,
100%, 100%, 100%.
Just not a fan. I don't know why. Just something about him.
All right.
I love Naito more than he.
I love Naito. I've been praising Naito for years. You guys know that.
There's apples and, like, awesome oranges.
You are not lying. Never Open Weight Championship, Kota Ibushi versus Will Ospreay. This was insanity.
Great, stiff.
Great match to open up with. I thought Ibushi died. Like, I marked that. I'm like,
He took that shot, and my brother even cringed. Like, it was just like, it was insane. It was insane. Like, yeah. Of course, the EMTs couldn't fucking package him. Of course, now I'm critiquing it because I'm...
I wanted to hear your critique about it. Like, is this bad or is this real? I don't know.
Well, they had the headrest, right? You know, the cushions, you know, but they didn't give him a fucking a collar. And then they put the spider straps on him, right, to secure him to the backboard. And, like, they're choking him.
Who cares? It's wrestling. Who gives a shit?
No. There's an art form to this motherfucker. I've been doing EMS for 20 years this month. 20 years. Okay? If I did that on the street, they would take my badge away, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, of course they would.
Then that would be a you problem.
Will Ospreay beats Ibushi. Really good match to open, like Rob said.
I'm sorry. Not to cut you off, but how was Ospreay's... reaction with the how was the crowd reaction for Will Ospreay? I'm just curious.
There's a lot of Australians there. They were rooting for him. Oh. I think the rest of the crowd were rooting for Ibushi.
Of course.
Yeah.
I like Ibushi. He's good.
I do. I love Ibushi. Three way for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship.
There we go.
Was Sho and Yo, right? Against
the Tempura Boys.
Yeah, of course. Shout out to Tempura Boys. And Suzuki Goons, El Desperado, and Kanemura, and who was the other guys? It was L.I.J., Tagachi, and Bushi. My boy Bushi. I love Bushi.
Tagachi Shingo. That guy is not a junior.
He's not. He's definitely a heavyweight for sure.
Yeah.
Now the champions have had the belt since March of last year. So they would have broke the record if they would have made it through the ensuing 44 days, apparently. So, but this was a fantastic match.
It was a quick match, but it was the Shingo show all the way.
Yeah.
I'm a Bushi mark, but he was kind of on the outside the whole time.
Yeah. But I liked the match. L.I.J. fucking cashes in on this card, so we'll get into that in a few minutes. But
of course.
But that was so now 300 plus days comes to an end. This match, I was telling, because Choppy didn't see this match.
Ishii and Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, for the Rev Pro title. Dude. Yo, did you see the one stretch he put on Bushi where when he was stretching him and instead of having one arm out, he had both arms locked like the octopus and stretched him out? Dude, yeah. I cringed. Legit cringed. It was like. What?
That guy is crazy.
And he was giving Ishii at least 70, 80 pounds, maybe 100 pounds. Like, he's not a big Sabre's not a big dude. I mean, he's tall, but he's fucking, was he a fucking barely 200 pounds?
I'd say he's about a buck 90.
I'd say he's like a buck 80 barely.
Buck 80, okay.
Yeah, well, he wins his third Rev Pro title, so he can take it back to the motherland with him. You know,
yeah. They didn't call it Rev Pro, which is interesting.
They called it the British heavyweight. Yeah, they did it. Well, Kevin Kelly said Rev Pro, but everybody else didn't say anything. They just kind of like, I don't know. They kind of eluded from it. I don't know why, but
this
match was good for the IWGP Tag Team Championship 3-way dance. You had
the GODs.
GODs,
Evil and Sonata, who I can't stand, and then they had the Young Bucks.
The Bucks, yeah. So
why don't you like L.I.J.? Evil
Sonata, I can't stand Sonata.
I don't know. I don't understand.
I love Evil. I hate Sonata.
Dyed beard.
I fucking hate emo Sonata.
Emo Sonata, he says.
Fuck Sonata.
Sonata is supposed to be. He doesn't say shit. He has to look like super cool.
No, you talk about fucking Jay White not having charisma. This motherfucker has no charisma.
Well,
that's why he's not evil with him.
Rob,
he's a good worker, bro.
My brother didn't know that the G.O.D. were descendants of Haku.
Yeah, dude. Oh my god.
Yeah.
And my brother is an old school WCW mark because he grew up right in the heart of the fucking Attitude Era. So, yeah, when I told him, he was like, "Oh, really?" I'm like, "Yeah, these guys are legit."
Yeah, a lot of the guy wrestlers that are now wrestling are a lot of like second and third generation guys from like from the 80s.
Yeah, so Evil and Sonata are your new IWGP Tag Team Champions. That's two for LIJ.
Yes. And Rob, I got to ask you one question once we've gone through the whole card. I just want to get your opinion on something.
Next match is for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. Juice Robinson and against
worst
Cody.
Match of the card.
Was it really that bad? You think so?
Yeah, it was just felt out of place. Like the flow didn't go, and I realized that Cody had to get surgery, so that's why he was moving so badly. Finish came out of nowhere, you know, and Brandy shenanigans in the beginning. I don't know. Cody's got to either he's injured or he's just got to change his style. It's just it gets boring to watch now. Like after All In, there hasn't been anything he's done lately.
So you think that Cody's to blame for the pace of the match? You're saying
either his injury or just his style.
Gotcha.
But I love Cody. I love him as a character, as a real dude, as a wrestler. But just, I guess last night was it's a little different.
How was Juice? How was Juice in the match? You think he was...
Juice is great.
All right.
Juice is over.
Good.
They got, every time he put a punch in, the whole stadium was like, Juice! Juice! And then there were like two people who were like, Cody.
The three marks behind you. Sit down, Marks.
Sit down, Marks.
Sit down, Marks. I was one of the Marks. I wanted Cody to win, but...
So Juice Robinson
after 9 minutes, it had to end.
Yeah, Juice Robinson wins the U.S. Championship for the second time.
Yep, two-time U.S. champ now.
This match was interesting.
Bone Soldier
Choppy can't get enough of Ishimori, and he was telling me in pre-production that he. I'll let Choppy give you his opinion, but Kushida defending against Ishimori. I forget Kushida won this belt like 25 times.
Six times. Can we talk about the opening for Kushida?
Oh, yeah, with his Back to the Future with
that
Doc,
was dope.
With a mini version of his own Doc Brown.
Yeah,
yes,
man.
Yes, we can.
So, yeah, Taguchi was Doc Brown, and then he had a mini version of himself. It was like a fucking real ass mask of Kushida. I'm like, holy crap, that's kind of freaky. And I was like, nope, he's going back in time.
Got to get back awesome. In time. Good movie.
Go back in time.
Yeah, Kushida wins with the bloody cross. Good match. Choppy can't talk enough about
Kushida. Ishimori. Ishimori one. You said
yeah. Your Bone Soldier boy.
Bone Soldier. That baseball slide into the German suplex was insane. Did you remember that spot?
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah.
My thing.
The guy's strong, dude.
Oh yeah, dude. He's got to be like 5'3" or 5'4", and he weighs. He looks like he weighs about 200 pounds at 5'3". The guy's jacked to the gills.
All muscle.
Oh,
yeah.
He's amazing. I like him. Very good guy.
All right.
Next.
All right, so Kushida lost when Ishimori hit the bloody cross on him.
Right. Fucking Mook. Get it right, Mook.
I'm sorry, man. Here's
my boy!
Oh, gosh.
Now, let me just premise this for a second. Two years ago, Okada, to me, was the greatest wrestler on the planet. Okay, and none of you guys gave me an argument with that.
No, I mean,
right?
He's great.
But since he lost to
Fall from Grace,
Kenny Omega, he's lost every major match he's been in.
He's won every match for the past 2 years, so he had to lose eventually.
But here's my thing, though. I mean, I understand. See, this is where I don't get the booking of New Japan. This is where I can't figure it out. Like, why would you take your part of your moneymaker? And Rainmaker. Well, see how I did that. But how does he fall from grace that quick? That bothers me the most.
He has to do the favor now. He has to. I mean,
is he that old?
No, it's not even that. It's just you got to do the honors, man. I mean, you had guys put him over all the time for the past 2 years as champion.
Yeah, he's young. How old is he?
He's only 31 or 32 years old.
Yeah. He was like 20. Like 20 still.
No, he's in his 30s. Like 31 or 32.
No, you're right.
But this is the
I guess when his run came, he was in his late 20s and still considered very young.
Yes.
But yeah, I think you're right about, you know, time for him to pay the piper. But it's also, he's not doing crazy shit anymore. He's not, you know, dying at every main event.
Yeah, know? Yeah, that too. And the fact that he doesn't have a hype man no more. Chaos, yeah. Chaos is pretty much in limbo with no real leader, I want to say. Even though he's probably still the leader, per se, but there's, you know, it's... What's that?
You should be the Chaos leader. I got you that hat.
You did? Oh, you like... Yeah. Oh, you gotta be kidding me. You did get that hat?
You like that hat?
You like this hat? Oh, hold on a minute. I'll play
you
it for you.
You better like that hat.
You better like... You like this...
You like this hat? Sure do. You better like this hat. That's no lie.
This is the only non-title match on the card.
It's called a special singles match.
A special singles match.
No business being there.
No. I didn't dislike the match. It was way better than the Cody Rhodes match, I can tell you that.
Of course.
But this is Jay White's time. As much as we don't like him. Well, you guys don't like him.
I mean...
That's your boy, though, man.
You know what it is? I was kind of disappointed to see that he didn't want to, like, take pictures with the fans. I mean, let's face it. The GODs and Bad Luck Fale, they're all heels, but they were still very nice to the fans, you know?
And if, they're super nice. Yeah. I think they're just, like, happy to be there. Like, happy that the fans like them, even though, you know, they're not popular. They're not, like, faces.
Exactly.
But, you know, you get Jay White. He knows he's the top guy. Because he's pushed at the top guy's spot. Dude, you know, act the part. Like, it comes with the territory. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, but you know what it is? Like you said, he's probably trying to be the heel character. You know, he was not trying to break kayfabe. But at the same time, I'm like, dude, it's fucked up. I mean, I still think he's a very talented guy. I know you don't. I think he has a lot of charisma. And I feel like he's a fantastic worker. And
I was not impressed. I was not impressed last night. That's how I carried him.
I'm sure you weren't, but let's face the facts. I mean, Okada... He's probably one thing's for sure. Okada's probably either injured and going through injuries right now. That's probably why the match wasn't that good. But it is what it is, man. You can't do anything about it. You know,
I turned my whole section against Jay White. Actually, the whole dome was against Jay White. Yeah, he has a lot of heat. Definitely,
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though. Hold on a minute. I'm getting. I don't know. Hold on a second. I'm getting text messages.
No, it's okay.
Here.
I mean,
how's the new studio, guys?
Loving it.
The new Studio C? I mean, it's...
You got to come next week or when you get back.
Studio
C. Choppy.
When you guys, when you come back, we got to get you in studio. Next match is for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. No disqualification. Tetsuya Naito versus...
Naito!
Dude, and Rob, since I met you, I've told you my admiration for Naito.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be a star. I told this to Mega Powers. I told this to Scott. I told everybody who...
When he was a face, I couldn't stand him, though.
But, dude, there was something about him, man, and I knew it. And look at him now.
He's money.
He is money. And Chris Jericho and my brother, Mike, how good was this match?
It was actually one of my favorite from the...
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
My brother knows who Chris Jericho is. And I said, when I said, my brother looked at him, like, Chris Jericho's still wrestling? I'm like, what? Wait till you see him. And he's like, how old is he? I'm like, he's pushing 50, you know?
He's got that old man body.
47. Yeah. He's got the Ric Flair.
He got the Ric Flair. He's getting flabby. Listen, bro, it's just what happened.
His chest is caving in. That gut's popping out.
We can't stay sexy forever, man. Come on now.
That's true.
But this is my favorite match of the night, I think.
I would have to say this is my favorite match. This is match of the night, for sure.
I mean, the DDT spot.
Good God, dude.
Outside. I thought Naito was dead.
I thought Naito had broken his neck on that one.
Bro, he went straight up. Bro, where were you sitting?
I saw.
All right.
Okay, you know where the entrance is? I could see straight down the entranceway. I was about maybe less than 100 feet from there.
And what was the reaction to that DDT spot?
We looked away once it happened because we thought he died.
A lot of
things were just like, oh,
my
God,
brother's laughing. My brother's laughing, Rob. I'm like, oh, he's dead. that's exactly what I said. I was like, he's dead.
And Mike, I need to get your opinion after this.
Ibushi's dead.
The kendo stick lost a piece at one point.
Did you see the world? I yelled out, what is this, Nitro?
What is
Charlotte?
This, Nitro? Ring that bell. Ring that bell. Fucking marks. But man, I got to tell you, you know, and I was telling my brother this, and you guys know, my whole hang up on storytelling. Like, they know how to tell a story.
Correct.
You don't even have to fucking translate the press conferences. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could tell the emotion, the heat, whether it's Gaijin, non-Gaijin, whatever. This was a good story. Jericho came out, jumped all his friends. Then he jumped him, called him out, took his belt, and then oh, and he didn't take his belt. He took the belt, and then got made sure Naito knew it, and then made Naito come and get it. So I love that. It was a great story. It was a great story. So my bro, and my brother hasn't seen anything in a long time. Tell me your emotions about this. Tell me your feeling about the finish and everything.
Well, first and first, I was shocked Jericho still wrestled. that blew my mind. But I mean, that match alone sold me.
Yeah.
Because
I
remember
like the Destino finisher.
Naito's finisher.
It was high.
Yeah.
I remember one of the.
It's one of the best finishers in wrestling. I love the Destino.
You know who used to do the Destino? Ultimo Dragon in WWE.
Really?
Yes, okay. He did.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And also, I love the false finishes with, especially with Naito hitting the code breaker on Jericho.
Yeah, like twice.
Oh my god, that was fantastic. It was just,
yeah.
It's like what Phil said. Great, great storytelling. Unbelievable.
This was a no DQ, correct?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
So when he put the walls in, and he was closer to the ropes, he kept on moving away from the ropes, but I was yelling like, "This is no DQ. It doesn't fucking matter." Right?
Exactly. You're right.
Like, does he do that just so he doesn't get leverage with the ropes? I guess
maybe that's himself. Probably. I just think.
Yeah, I would like to see, like, if you get to the ropes, count to five. Doesn't fucking matter. There's no DQ.
There was a match in the WWE that was, I forgot which one it was, where they did that, like, I think it was like maybe 10 or 15 years old, the match. And they had a no DQ match, but the guy, whoever it was, grabbed the ropes, and the ref was like, "That's no DQ, you can't, it doesn't matter." And they kept going, you know? They should have done that in the match.
Nice.
I agree with that. I think I agree with you on that one, Rob.
So, it was my favorite match of the night. So,
I agree.
Yeah, it was great. And Naito wins the belt. He, like Rob said, he was super over. I mean, they kept panning shots to the crowd. The crowd was so into him.
Yep.
I feel like LIJ has gotten more fans as they went along, you know.
Yes, they did.
But they're so over right now. They might be the most over stable in the company.
Yeah, even more.
No, you're right.
You're probably more over than the Bullet Club right now.
Well, yeah. Well, Bullet Club's in yeah.
I'd say the percentage of merch in the crowd is more LIJ than anything.
I figured.
Yeah.
And of course, we have the main event, the 10th match of the evening for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship of the World, of the Japan.
I consider it a world title.
It's a world title.
Definitely a world title.
Kenny Omega! Yeah. I love Omega's entrance, by the way.
Oh my god, it was so good. Did you watch Kenny's quest on BTE?
No, I didn't see the quest, but Rob, what video game was he coming out to? Was that...
That's his own. They made that.
Although, look at a Final Fantasy thing. Look at something from, like...
Alluding to that, but it's a mix of Super Punch-Out and Final Fantasy.
His gear was on point, though. I loved his gear.
Yeah, I wish he took out the sword and then pointed when he did the bang.
Yes.
That would have been cool. He kept the sword sheathed.
So, 42-year-old Hiroshi Tanahashi...
42.
Yeah.
42.
Christ. Exactly. Thank you.
42.
Christ on a cracker.
You just proved my point, goddammit. A 42-year-old man got the world title again.
Okay, he was going with Omega. Omega was not getting... Omega was the heel in this for some reason, and no one was rooting for him. Only the Gaijins were. I'm not sure if you noticed, probably around the 30-minute mark, when Omega pinned him, he did the last ride in homage to Ibushi, the last ride pins.
Yes.
Like, fucking Tanahashi was not kicking out. Like, Omega had to, like, literally let go of the pin. Like, Tanahashi's out. Like, this shouldn't go to him. He can't go.
Well, I mean, he's won a ton. He won the...
he's won the most.
He won the most this year. And on top of that, it was, you know, I guess people... We're catching on that this was Kenny's swan song also, you know. I don't know if I would put the belt on Tanahashi, even though I love him to death. I felt like Kenny Omega had to slow down his pace for him, though, in the match. I thought that the choppy in the text message.
Oh, yeah.
Of course it did. I mean, the motherfucker is 42 years old. He can't go as much as he used to, like,
Texas. It's not even about age, dude.
It is.
It's not. It's the style. It's because Tanahashi can still go. But
he,
sorry.
Tanahashi is he's a speed guy. He's fast.
He wasn't that fast. Yeah. Well, I mean,
but he can't go 39 minutes, though.
No.
Yeah, he cannot.
No, but he did. That's the thing. And I felt like he almost insulted.
His cardio was not there.
I think he went about 25 minutes and then he lost.
And then he gassed? Okay.
Yeah, his cardio is not there. He's not a Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega could go for like an hour and a half if he wanted to. I'm sorry. He's just not that good.
So, you know, he wins a title and now it's bittersweet. Because now,
can we talk about the Styles Clash?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I text you that? Remember?
We lost our collective minds when he did that.
The Styles Clash, that was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was awesome.
So I have I have to ask you a question, Rob. What?
Yes, sir.
Based on there was 8 title changes. Do you think that was a bad move by New Japan?
It's a lot. I mean, they're pushing. Dude, LIJ has all the gold. I think that's cool.
Yep.
I think all the matches that the general public wanted to see did not get their matches won. So, you know, I guess they have a plan. Usually the storylines wrap up around Wrestle Kingdom, but now that they have the big G1 Supercard coming, they have to look for the future. They're doing more shows in the U.S. now. So.
Yeah, Nashville, Cali, New York.
Yeah.
Dallas,
they added
Texas.
One in Texas. Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here's my...
I mean...
God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Gotta finish.
The story has to go on. But I feel like if this was Kenny's swan song, why not have Ibushi win the G1 and then have them rival for the last 6 months?
Phil said that.
That's why I said that too. But again, it's that booking. And I was telling my brother this morning. I said, you know, Japan is a different animal. You get the hybrid style, you get the strong style, you get the lucha, you get the regular mainstream shit, you get everything mixed in one, and then you get this booking where you think guys are going to get the rub and they don't. Or they're supposed to, and they don't, just by storyline alone, and they don't, and then it just baffles you and shit, you know. So immediately after the match, I read, I don't know, I think it was Mario, someone posted on the Throwbacks page that they or the Rampage, might have been Todd, I forget who, but apparently the E offered Kenny Omega $3.5 million to come, right?
That's it. Wow.
Well, that's the thing, and I told Choppy that, and Choppy's, well, how do you know he's not making that now? So here's my question to you, to people in the chat room, to people in the Facebook, everybody who's listening: is it beneficial for him to finally go and finish the whole circle complete and go to the E, or does he go with his friends and wrestle for less, but get more of the notoriety
and creative freedom?
And creative freedom, yeah.
Would you say this is Kenny Omega's prime?
Yeah,
he's in his prime.
Why not? Sure. I think when he won the title, that was his prime. That's it. Okay. When he won the title that day in June, he was I told you this. I told everybody this. He became the best wrestler on the planet. Period.
Bar none.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
So now, in my eyes, right now, he's still the best wrestler on the planet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Better than Okada, better than Naito, better than AJ Styles.
Definitely better than Tanahashi.
Tanahashi's not top 5 anymore. No. Let's be honest. But does he go, or does he go play with his friends?
Play with his friends.
Yep.
You know, wait the 5 years, go to WWE. And collect your paycheck like Styles. Like, you're right now, you're on top of the world. People are going to see that you're doing a sellout, and then your whole character is going to be, you know, flushed down a, you know, Nakamura status. You don't want that.
I had this argument with Nick German. He was saying that, oh, yeah, why would he go to WWE if they're going to pay him $3.5 million just to be a jobber? I'm like, dude, we don't. You think WWE is that stupid to pay this man $3.5 million to start off and just have him job out to people? I don't think that WWE is that stupid. I think that what would happen is if he decides to go to WWE, he's going to be more watered down. He's not going to be able to do the moves that you would normally see. The one-wing angel would not be in his repertoire. He would probably use less of the V-trigger. and he would have to rely on somebody new, you know?
And Kenny Omega Light.
Yeah, pretty much Kenny Omega Light. Do I think he's going to WWE? I don't know. And I, honestly, I really don't care if he does or not. I actually would rather see him in AEW, but who knows? I would still be happy whether he's on TV or not, you know?
Then Kenny's he's a Japanese citizen. He wants to be in Japan.
Correct.
You know? He wants to have that freedom to stay. This is his country where he wants to live.
Yeah, exactly. But my thing was this. Like, Kenny Omega would be the perfect conduit to bring New Japan Pro Wrestling into the States in a full-time basis because he knows how to speak English. He knows how to speak Japanese very well. So I think he should stay with New Japan. But, you know, the man still has a lot of deciding to do, a lot of thinking to do. I'm sure he'll make the right decision in due time.
Yeah.
Well, Roberto.
What's even happening with WWE right now? I haven't watched fucking Raw or anything.
SmackDown's not bad. I mean,
Raw's terrible.
Yeah,
Raw's absolutely
dreadful. Raw is the shits.
It's absolutely dreadful.
Raw is the shits. All right, so what's on tap for you for the rest of your trip? Are you gonna see any more wrestling?
No. I mean that was a thing that I wanted to kind of experiment this year, but just haven't had time. Gonna go to a concert today and see a couple exhibits tomorrow, and then I'm going to Osaka next week for 2 days.
Nice.
And I'm actually working out of my company's Tokyo office for 2 days next week, too.
Oh, boo-hoo. You have to work. In Japan. Oh, boo-hoo.
Quote-unquote work. So, yeah, it should be fine.
Well, like I've been telling you for months, though. Go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to catch up. But I know we're planning to come here in 2020.
Yes.
So if we do, then we should definitely check out, you know, the Joshi shows and All Japan and all that. And now we don't have to worry about shitty New Year's Dash being sold out.
Right. It'll be in a different venue. Status. Yes. My nephew Nick's in the room. What's up, Nick? You know, so, all right. So now, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Ichiban 2020. Turnbuckle Throwbacks will be in Japan. I'm working on him. I'm working on Chops. We're coming with us. That might happen, hopefully. And Elena,
give Brielle another kid. It'll be good.
It's actually her idea for him to come out. He didn't want to go, but we're gonna either way, Takeover Club is taking over Japan 2020, and I heard the event's gonna be 2 days next year at Wrestle Kingdom. So if that's the truth, that's gonna be fucking madness. So I don't know. Either way, we're taking over Japan. We're gonna get some steaks. Get some swag.
I'm definitely gonna get if I could get a Ribera jacket. I know I won't be able to.
I don't know if they still do that with the wrestlers or they make it to the public. I have no idea. But I mean, I would. It's my dream, my bucket list to go there. You know.
Well, you got to see Stan Hansen earlier.
Got to see Stan Hansen, so rubbed it off the bucket list.
That was awesome.
So, Roberto, we are like I said, we're vicariously living through you right now. So,
hey, man, I'm just trying to live my best life.
You are not. You are, dude. You are the bee's knees right now, my friend. You want to be these?
But so, I miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss you too. Why don't you come? Let's get you on the show when you're settled. I want you to come into the studio with us and hang out and do a throwback with us.
When's the Royal Rumble?
Rumble's the end of the month.
What? Let me see what date is that.
I think we're doing it here, right, Chops?
We're doing
Rumble here.
Yeah, we're doing it here.
Royal Rumble's here this year.
Let me see.
So okay. maybe we'll do a special podcast maybe that day.
27th.
That is 2 days before my birthday.
2 days before Choppy's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, good.
Cool.
Yeah. So, listen, bro, we'll let you go. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Yeah, enjoy it, dude. Thank you so much for calling.
Please, we love you. Please,
yeah, man.
Please enjoy yourself. Please be careful. Don't get none of those used panty fucking vending machines.
What do you think I am?
Shoot. I heard about that. But anyway, no, seriously.
That's the other guy.
That's the, right. You are not lying. Ring that bell. You are not lying.
The other guy.
Hey, listen, it's his fucking choice. With that being said,
he we do not speak of.
On that being said, it's 2019. Let's not rehash the past anymore.
Correct.
Let's move forward and start kicking some ass and live vicariously through the Mandingo who's in the fucking land of the rising sun. Our pearl of the Orient.
I don't know if you need me to bring anything back.
I want candy. They have some kick-ass candy. None of that strawberry fucking Twix. That's nasty.
Give me some chocolate, dude.
Yeah, they have some fucking kick-ass candy over there. So, all
right, no problem.
But other than that, please be careful.
Yeah, be safe.
Come back soon. We miss you. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, bro.
Sounds good, brothers.
All right, brother. Later. Be safe.
Later.
Bye.
The resident Mook Mandingo.
Are you serious right now? He's in fucking Japan. Oh, I have to work.
Ooh. Wow, from Japan. Wow.
Oh, wow.
I bet you got a nice view from that fucking building. Fucking
rough
Mook.
Like you, Mook bastard. All right, so I've been getting some hits on the social media, and I'm getting text messages, and I got one funny one here. What was it? Melanie said, it looks like fucking Elmo wants to kill us.
That's right, that motherfucker's right behind us.
Yeah.
He's creeping. Look at this motherfucker. Look at him.
Like he's creeping behind the fucking thing.
Oh, my God.
We're gonna have a backdrop soon. We're going to have a whole setup here. It's going to be fucking dope.
We're going to have a shut-up.
We're going to have a shut-up.
A shut-up. Hey, Goldman, why don't you give me some Goldman?
Oh, my word. Thank you very much. I found my Frank Rizzo fucking autographed picture.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm going to hang it up in my new apartment. Thank you very much. Oh, my word. Oh, God. Baby Jesus and whatnot. Oh, sweet tits. Thank you very much.
Tits. That's awesome.
All right. So before we take a break, final thoughts on Wrestle Kingdom. Mike, what'd you think of the show, man?
Yeah.
So I remember one question I asked Phil was, when I first started watching wrestling back in the day, it was the old school ECW with like the barbed wire ropes and the, you know, the glass and all that. And I was like, what happened to that? And then I saw the Jericho match. And that match, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Good.
I'm going to get hate. The Cody match, I didn't like it.
Nobody liked it.
I didn't like Cody. I thought he was sloppy. I thought he was very slow. I wasn't a fan of that match.
He was also wrestling hurt. But
yeah, he was also injured, so that could be why.
But everybody thought the same thing you did. Mario said it. I know me and KG were talking about it before. Like, you know, he's just slow. But again, like I told you, bro, it's like all the different styles. Like you could tell all these guys, their personalities, that strong style. And then there's the high flyers. Then there's the hybrids. It's fun.
And then the point where Chobby brought up about the belts, all the belts being on one side now.
Yeah.
I think, in theory, granted, being a casual person, you know, but I think it could make good story.
Okay.
Coming into next year, now that one side has all the belts, now everybody else has to compete against, you know, the one dominant side.
And I'm a tag team mark. I'm a faction mark. So you guys all know that more teams, the better. I like the competition, too. And I like the fact that, my brother's right, they have all the belts, and now you have Chaos. You got fucking LIJ. You got Bullet Club. You got Suzuki Goon. Don't sell Suzuki Goon short. They still got heads. They got Zack Sabre Jr.
They do.
They got the fucking the Killer Elite Squad. They got of course Minoru Suzuki.
Yep.
The creepiest man on the planet. And
creepiest man on the
planet. He is. He's a fucking creepster. Chop.
I just wanted to say that I'm glad that we had a casual fan give us an opinion.
Yeah.
Because when you have a hardcore fan, it's very hard to determine if he's right or if he or she is right or wrong in terms of their opinion. And to see a casual fan tell me that, you know, they enjoyed the show, that just gives me hope that wrestling will eventually be cool again, you know, back in like 98, 99, you know, to watch. And in terms of my opinion of the show, I thought it was a solid show.
Yeah.
The one word I can say is magical.
Yeah.
And the reason I say magical is because every performer in that ring produced magic.
Yeah.
They made me fucking believe that what they were fighting for was real. You know?
Yeah.
And I know all the bumps, all the hits, the shots they take, some of them can hurt, some of them cannot, but in the end, those guys were hurting for real. Case in point, Ibushi taking that fucking elbow to the fucking back of the head and getting concussed. I mean, these guys really put their heart and soul into this fucking product. And that's what's missing in the American market, is heart and soul into the product.
Mario said Taka Michinoku. And me, my brother popped. He was like, that's Taka. I know. Yeah. He knows Kai and Tai. He ain't fucking around.
Taka Michinoku. Indeed.
Matt Squires for the win. Lance Hoyt is a cute tramp stamp. Ring that bell.
And leave Vance Archer alone.
I'm going to bring all my shoes and glasses so I have them. Thank you very much.
Lance Hoyt.
All right, listen, we got to tell Choppy the story about my brother and I when we were younger about the video game.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We're going to tell him that story when we get back. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll plug our friends, and we got a cool throwback for you tonight. So with that being said, guys, you guys have been fucking phenomenal. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We are live on rantemradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from The Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
All right, we're back.
We are back.
I had to turn the headphones down. My brother was getting tinnitus. All right, we're live. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on the Rant, rantemradio.com. Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. All right, so before my brother gets back, we're not going to start the throwback yet, but a couple things I want to get out of the way. Like, right. Double A's getting married, man.
Congratulations, sir.
Congratulations. And then Double A's coming to New York City to visit.
No congratulations to that.
No. Don't say that, man.
New York is a shithole.
So, Double A, as always, I do this every year, but thank you again for another year of having us. We appreciate it. We love you. We wish you nothing but the best on your nuptials.
Yes, sir.
Even though I'm bitter right now, I'm not going to talk you out of it. But God bless you. And my cousin Richie is in a... Richie, call Pablo, honey, come to Florida. Keep yourself clean, honey. I'm on a Jerky Boys tip forever, man. My brother's back. Hello, Michael. The headphones better for you, sir?
Yes, much better.
Okay, good.
Super.
Just turn it down. You got the knob right next to you, bro, so now you know where it is. Yes, last night as a single man listening to us. You got no fucking... You got no friends?
Terrible.
You fucking listen to us? Us jerk-offs on your night before your wedding?
Speak for yourself, buddy. You're a jerk-off.
I am a jerk-off, actually.
Fucking...
my cousin Richie's involved in a promo fed. I guess they call it a fed. I don't know. It's called Beyond the Belts. A bunch of grown men with championship belts, and they cut promos, and they make little silly little videos, and it's cute. And some of them are really cool, actually. I watched some of them, and it's what they do is they base their wins and losses on your promo. So go check it out, Richie. If you're listening, still post the link on the Facha de Libre, and do that. My brother is wearing a Rich Fi T-shirt. Rich Fi, my boy from Queens. That's right. And from R&D Tattoos in Queens, New York, he's got a brand new podcast that we put up last week called Neighborhood Knucklehead, him and Fat Frankie. So I'll be getting more involved in that. I had like a fucking flu when they first did their first episode. I was supposed to produce it. So I helped them actually upload it, but he's been doing all right. So they got a ton of hits on it so far. So Rich, we love you, and we wish you all the luck in the world. And, of course, you have us as your allies forever. And... that's pretty much it with that.
Super.
Now, so, I've known my brother Michael before he was actually my brother. He was a friend of the family, and Michael used to come over to my house every day after school, and he would sit on my floor and play with his Pokemon cards. And when I was home, I'd let him play with PlayStation. I had the PlayStation in the bedroom, and I wasn't really home a lot. I was living at home, living out with a friend, and I was going back and forth, helping my mom out and everything. But when I was home, it was all about wrestling, you know. And we had a PlayStation, and I don't remember the game. Choppy, maybe you can help me. What was the first original PlayStation game that you can create your own wrestlers? Do you remember? Was it SmackDown?
It was
Here Comes the Pain?
WWF Warzone.
Okay, it was probably Warzone that we had, right, Mike?
I actually think it was.
Okay. So, my brother, who's now a man, you got to give him benefit of doubt. When he was a kid, he was obsessed with the promos of Glacier. Right?
Really?
Yeah. Well, he was a Mortal Kombat.
I was a Mortal Kombat fan.
And how old were you, though?
Oh, God, what was it, like 98,
99? Yeah, yeah.
I was like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah. So now... He's, you know, now we're like creating our own wrestlers, right? So now I'm like, what are you talking about? That guy's a fag. Glacier. What a stupid contacts, right? So now I'm busting his chops, and he's like, no. So we made a tag team called Fire and Ice.
Oh, God. Wasn't that, what's his name?
Yeah.
Okay, continue. Yeah.
But it was Fire and Ice, and it was a homosexual tag team. And we had a move set for them, and we would cut promos, and it was the funniest thing, and like no one got it. We would tell no one else played the game but him and I, so I couldn't, like, no one else got the fucking joke. So for years and years and years, I would glance over and go, oh, Fire and Ice. He'd laugh at me. He'd say something to me, Fire and Ice, laugh. So we had a homosexual tag team on PlayStation.
What are you, a fag?
Okay, faggot. What's next?
So it was hysterical, and I said to Michael, so we got to tell Choppy the fucking Fire and Ice story. And
that's awesome.
And he said,
okay, terrific.
And that's what we did. So. Jason Groom said, Choppy, you're even uglier live than you are on Facebook.
Well, thanks, buddy. coming for you, that whole means a whole lot of nothing to me.
Matt Squires is still waiting for someone to take on his Dungeon of Doom team on 2K19.
Ooh.
Matt, I'm going to buy 2K19 for Xbox, and I'll have my stepson work on that.
Super.
We'll make some characters and we'll fight you.
I forgot to tell you, I had a fuck you wrestler of the week.
Oh, no, you didn't forget.
I didn't. Okay, I didn't forget.
No, you did not forget. We just didn't get to it yet because we had Rob on talking about he was fucking wrestle. He was in Japan, man.
Fucking mook.
Let's play Choppy's music.
And now it's time for Choppy.
Fuck you,
wrestler of the week.
Now, Choppy has not had a fuck you wrestler of the week in several months.
Now this guy really pissed me the fuck off.
Chopster, who is your fuck you wrestler of the week?
Your favorite wrestler and mine, Ahmed Johnson.
Is this the article they posted that I posted the other day?
Yes. All right, I mean,
get into it.
Let me tell you something. How much of a fucking idiot can this man be? I don't know who's dumber, him or fucking Kamala. But I'll tell you right now.
When you got a lot of money, Dawn Marie. Oh, look a here, motherfucker. I got no feet here. I got the diabetes and I need some money, Dawn Marie.
He definitely has the itis or the itis, whatever.
You like my Kamala?
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Do it again. What was his manager, Kimchi?
Kimchi.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
So, this motherfucker goes on this tirade about how Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels held him down from being world champion in the World Wrestling Federation.
Right.
Pretty much calling him racists.
Racists.
And saying that, you know, because he's a black man, he never made, you know, reached to a higher, to better heights in the WWF. And I was like, what? First off, you're sloppy in the fucking ring. You're semi-decent on the mic. And on top of that, you're not that good. You were not that good. And then, not for nothing, you say that the WWF was racist. They made you the first African-American to hold the Intercontinental title.
They did.
So you, my friend, can go fuck yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. What do you have to say about that, Sheiky?
Don't fuck his ass, Mickey Humble.
There you go.
Spear checker.
I take the E.
Spear checker.
Fuck his ass.
I'm over here now.
There you go.
It doesn't matter.
Ahmed, where'd you get that belt from?
I got it from a Negro.
Will you stop?
I'm sorry. What about you, Booker T?
Hulk Hogan, we got it for you, nigga.
And this idea of WWE being racist towards black people, everyone's like, oh, there's never been a black WWE champion.
There's been racism in WWE.
There has.
So let's. I'm gonna debate you on that. But this particular fucking comment that he made was outlandish.
Yeah.
If you had a better work rate,
correct,
and you didn't fucking almost cripple your opponents every time you wrestled, then we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Listen, for him to say that the WWE is racist is bullshit. First off,
all right,
you had him as first black IC champion, Brock as WWE champion, he's half black. You had fucking The New Day as the longest reigning tag team champions of all time. You had fucking Booker T, King Booker, as the world heavyweight champion. Five times. Mark Henry, Hall of Pain motherfucker, world heavyweight champion, and ECW champion.
Correct.
Do I dare go on?
You don't have to justify it to us. I'm not debating you on that.
Yeah, it's insane.
I'm just debating you that there was racism.
I'm sure there was.
A lot of guys got fucking held back because
SD Jones for sure.
A lot of guys back in the day. Kamala got a half a paycheck every time you fought a big match.
Yeah.
You know?
But what I'm saying is there's been a lot of black successful wrestlers in that company. And I'm pretty sure sooner or later, what happened?
Matt Squires. Ahmed Johnson always looks good in denim. Cousin Richie said he got the F out.
What did Mario say? Mario said, what have the Mexicans done?
What have the Mexicans done?
Eddie Guerrero, WWE champion?
No, the Mexicans opened every Nitro. So.
Oh, well.
I mean, you can't knock that hustle, bro.
I mean, you have.
Oh, Sal from Sacred Hearts in there. Hello, Sal. Thank you.
Hello, buddy.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Rocky Johnson, Tony Atlas, Lashley, Ezekiel Jackson.
Lashley? Stop.
Again, but listen. Stop. But they're all valid points. They're all valid guys. But the thing is, if you are a better performer.
Correct.
Then you could scream fucking racism 20 years later.
First off, he was never a Butch Reed.
No, stop.
He's not even Butch.
Don't even compare him to Ron Simmons.
I will
or
not.
Butch Reed
Ron
or
Simmons
Rocky
and
Johnson or Tony nope. Atlas. Don't even go
sloppy.
There. Don't even go. Ernie Ladd.
Bobby Lashley's a better worker than he is.
Yeah,
and that's saying a lot.
But Booker T was the fucking standard.
Yes, I agree.
All right, they put the rocket ship on him, and he won the fucking belt 5 times. When the company was in dismay, they put the rocket ship on him. But he was still a fucking talent.
He was.
Okay, but this guy's a fucking herb. Like you could, I mean, it bothers me that well, the dirt sheets are gonna play this shit anyway. The dirt sheets are gonna promote this nonsense, and they're gonna give it. They just want it's clickbait. They want you to click on it and be like, oh, look at me. I'm I have an article. Read it.
Yeah,
yeah, that is blasphemy. Butch Reed was awesome. Uptown Georgie knows the deal. Don't get me started. I've been watching NWA from 85 fucking all week.
Double A just said, I wonder if Ahmed ever met Ole. Oh my god.
You would, first of all, if Ole was booking, Ahmed wouldn't even be fucking on Shotgun Saturday Night. Okay? So let's not even get that twisted. Okay?
Yeah, that dark man would be in dark matches.
This is where we need Tony. This is where we need Tony C. This is where every time Ole Anderson comes up, this is where I need Tony C to get in on the conversation because we would we get gold. But either way, Choppy's right. This fuck you wrestler of the week, of the month, of the end of last year, because I was so mad, and I hardly post articles anymore. I don't. I let you guys run the page, and you guys are great.
You,
Nick, Rob, everybody posts amazing shit. Shaylin posts amazing shit. I barely post. I just post my videos to plug the show. I don't do anything else, but I was so fucking mad that day. My balls were twisted. I was like, yo, who the fuck is this clown? Who is this clown to scream racism when he was one of the most awful fucking wrestlers on the planet? He had a look to him.
But they put the rocket ship on his ass.
They did because Vince likes the big boys. He does. Vince always liked big boys. He did.
He did.
You know? He didn't even break any bones about it. He knew, like, everybody knew, like, the industry knew that Vince had a fucking hard-on for big dudes.
It's true.
That's it, bottom line. I think that's it. Are we ready for our throwback?
Yes, we are.
Any other notes, Chop? Have you notes?
No, that's it.
Mike, any thoughts? Anything? You ready for your throwback?
Yeah.
All right. So, Mike, you know how this goes, right? I play the music. Let's do it up. All right.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
I love that music. I keep saying it.
You like this music?
You better like this music. All right. So we're continuing our theme of the year. Last year we did 1998.
Now it's 99.
Now it's 99 because it's 20 years later. And we spoke about this, I want to say, like around SummerSlam time last year, that 98, 99, very, very crucial in terms of pro wrestling, right?
Yep.
And they start the year off with a bang.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I had this conversation with my lady friend the other night, and she was saying, well, this is when I was getting into wrestling, so I remember all this. I'm like, yeah, I said, this was different for the time. And then I was telling my friend at work, I said, the theme, well, you could do all the crappy ones. Well, we'd do everything.
Yeah.
We'd do ECW, WCW, WWF. I'm going to probably get some shit from Japan because I'm finding all my garbage wrestling,
Yeah, I mean,
Wing, FMW.
Oh, yeah.
But.
And then 3 years from now, we'll be doing TNA.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? The weekly shows.
Yeah.
Which were fucking phenomenal.
They were great.
No pun intended, because AJ Styles was there. 1999, January 24th.
The tagline was, no chance in hell.
No chance in hell. Anaheim, California, the pond.
Sponsored by 1010-220.
Sponsored by 1010-220. The Arrowhead Pond, home of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Well, they're not the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. They're just called the Ducks now.
Fuck them.
Paid attendance 14,816.
Good crowd.
Buy rate was 1.91. That's almost 2 million people. Okay.
That's a lot
that's
of
1999.
Money.
That's a lot of bread. That's a lot of cash at 25 beans a
Oof.
Okay, Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, Shane McMahon, and Vince McMahon on commentary. This is the Royal Rumble 1999.
I wish the dark match was shown because that would have been really good. Christian versus Jeff Hardy.
Oh yeah.
That must have been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. can't hear the other stuff on Facebook. I know, Jay. If you were here earlier, you would know that the camera's new and we don't have the camera hooked up to the feed yet. So if you want to listen to us with the sounds, you know, go to the Rant EM Radio and click on the listen live.
Yeah, it sounds like a you problem, bitch.
No.
I'm joking. What
the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm joking.
All right. So, yeah, Christian fought Jeff Hardy in a dark match. Were they still feuding?
They were not even feuding yet.
Oh, not yet.
Not yet. This was just like the start of it. Like, because I think the Hardy boys were looking, they looked like the Rockers at this point.
Right.
So they were just kind of like checking to see if these guys can work with each other, you know, in the dark matches.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen this match. It might have been good. But anyways, first match of the night. The Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
Against the current defending hardcore champion, the Road Dogg, Jesse James. And must I say that the Road Dogg, Jesse James, was over like Grover in this match. I couldn't believe the reaction this motherfucker got.
Yeah.
The match was okay. Very slow to start off the night. I mean, you want to get this. The only reason the crowd was hot was because of the Road Dogg. Road Dogg, whenever he's on the mic, he gets the crowd lit. You know, he's fantastic on the mic.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh,
your ass better call somebody. Yeah.
And, you know, Boss Man wins the match with the Big Boss Man Slam.
That's right.
They called it the Sidewalk Slam. Weird enough for me was, why wasn't this a hardcore title, a hardcore match? I mean, it would have been so much better.
Garif was in the chat room. Phil Meltzer. Ring the bell.
Good God.
Good God. KG in the building and KG Square. Kevin Garifo from the Shining Wizards. Hello, sir.
Hello, buddy.
Hello, pal, homie.
Amigo.
Okay, yeah. So, it was okay. I mean,
What'd you think? Do you think it should have been a hardcore match? Because it was the hardcore title was involved in the match.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, Mike.
I don't know. Like we discussed it earlier. I mean, to me, like, that was probably maybe, like, the first pay-per-view I saw. Like, the first big thing I saw in wrestling. Because that's when I first got into it.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the main event and the Rumble, I mean, I don't know.
Did you like this match?
Me personally, no.
I'm sorry.
You like this hat? Sure do. You better like this hat. That's no lie.
I get.
We were talking about this at dinner, and both Choppy and my brother said that this undercard was fucking terrible.
It was fucking dreadful. I was watching on the way. I was watching it on the way to work. I think on Wednesday, I was like falling asleep. I was like, wow, this is absolutely dreadful.
Yeah.
The next match, the WWF Intercontinental Title match. Ken Shamrock is the champion. Defending against the one, oh no, not the one.
Not the one.
But the Mr. Ass,
Billy Gunn. I'm an ass man. That's right. You laugh. Billy Gunn was the shit, dude.
I love
Billy Gunn.
One of the most athletic big men. And can I just point out in this match?
Good.
How tiny was Ken Shamrock in comparison to fucking Billy Gunn?
Not for nothing. Ken Shamrock was tiny to a lot of guys. He wasn't that big of a dude.
He's not. Tall-wise, he was like
5'9", maybe?
5'10",
I think. I'm bigger than... I'm almost 6 foot. I'm taller than Ken Shamrock.
For sure. And another thing I want to point out. Is it just me? It's been, what, 20 years and Billy Gunn still looks the same?
Yeah.
He has... That motherfucker does not age.
Mike, he wrestled in New Japan last year.
Oh. He looks the same, dude. He has a shorter haircut, but he has the exact same face, same fucking body. The guy is jacked. I can't believe how good he still looks. I hope to be in my close to my 60s and look like that. It's insane. But,
I love Billy... I'm sorry. I love Billy Gunn in this as the IC champ. I loved him when Chuck and Billy.
Oh, Chuck and Billy as the
The one Billy Gunn. I liked. I'm a Billy Gunn mark. I'm sorry. I liked him.
I liked him when he was Mr. Ass, but then when he became the favorite. One Billy Gunn, I was like,
I liked it. I liked it. And I didn't think they put enough emphasis on him as a singles wrestler.
Well, they only gave him the IC title for like a month, and then he dropped it to like Benoit.
He won King of the Ring too, though.
He won King of the Ring in '99, but he didn't win the IC title until 2001.
That's when The Rock embarrassed him.
He's like, and the clouds parted, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
God?
Bob?
But my name's Billy.
It doesn't matter.
And then The Rock said, then The Rock goes, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't What?
What? Yeah, man. Yeah, no, I'm a Billy Gunn guy. I did not dislike Ken Shamrock.
No, I didn't like him either, but he was. You could tell the inexperience between him and Billy Gunn, because Billy Gunn had a wealth of knowledge.
Vince loved Ken Shamrock.
He loved him because he was legit.
Yeah.
He was legit.
Yeah.
And,
he was Brock Lesnar before Brock Lesnar.
Correct. Correct. Right. I think that if he had stayed longer with the company, I think he would have been a WWF champion eventually.
Mike, you're a big MMA guy.
Yeah. And that's Ken Shamrock was actually my first favorite wrestler.
Really?
And he's what brought me back into UFC.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What are you calling it? The match itself was very slow, but it was okay. It was better than the first one, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
The spot for me that was really great is when Billy Gunn goes on the top rope towards the end of the match. He jumps off, lands on his, the ankle that Ken Shamrock was working on throughout the whole match.
Yeah.
He falls. Ken Shamrock locks in the ankle lock. And
yep.
That was it.
Yep.
The tap out by Billy Gunn, and your winner, Ken Shamrock, and still IC champ.
Ken Shamrock... put a little bit of validity in that title when at a time when, you know, everything was The Rock and Austin.
Correct.
And Taker and all that, because like Choppy said, of his validity, of his tough guy image, of his MMA background,
his legitimacy,
right? There was a kind of an aura around him, the music, the fucking, when he was hyped up, the stuff with Owen Hart was great. Like I liked Ken Shamrock. I did. I thought he fit right in at the time.
His match with Owen in the dungeon was fucking hysterical.
Yes, the dungeon match.
Hysterical.
The dungeon match.
But I have to note though that his physique was not up to par in this match. His physique, he looked very, like he hadn't been hitting. I think he's been drinking too much beer at this point.
Kevin Grifo, Choppy. In order to look like Billy Gunn when you're 60, he had to at least look 1/500th of him, like now. In that battle.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was the anti-Bullet Club crew. Him and Yoshitatsu. They were like the anti-Bullet Club crew. They would job to the Bullet Club like every fucking...
Why would
to
he...
To the B team of the Bullet Club. Oh. It was like a bad Nitro match.
Oh, my God.
NWO.
It was like the B team of DX versus the B team of Bullet Club. Who put Yoshitatsu of all people with fucking Billy Gunn? Come on, man.
They just need heads.
Fuck.
It was like when I pick up basketball games. I'll pick you. I'll pick you.
He sucks, man.
No.
Anyway,
we got him in a dollar store a couple years ago when Mikey was little, and we were in a dollar store, and we don't know how this action figure got in the dollar store.
Okay.
But we saw it and we got it for Mikey and
for a dollar.
Right. So he was like 5 years old, five or 6 years old. He goes, "Where'd you get this?" And it was a dollar store. He goes, "Figures." So Yoshitatsu became the job guy of Mikey's, of my son's fucking
great
action figure collection.
He was on main event in fucking, what was it, Velocity matches all the time.
Velocity.
Whatever it was called.
All right, Chops, what's the next match?
Next match. This is actually a really good match. The WWF European title match. X-Pac versus Gangrel. Can I just say, I loved Gangrel.
Everybody did.
Fucking love Gangrel. He was great.
The Brood, man.
Brood was fantastic.
Mike, you remember the Brood?
Yeah. I gotta go the other way with this match, though. I was a huge...
X-Pac was... Let me tell you... Yeah.
X-Pac was over.
X-Pac, and he cut promos. Like, let me tell you something about X-Pac. What I loved about X-Pac the most was that he constantly evolved as a promo guy. He would constantly put himself over... and win the crowd over. He was not as animated as Billy Gunn and Road Dogg with DX, but he was like the Gato.
Okay.
He was like the hype man for DX.
You know what was my thing with X-Pac? I liked him better as the underdog babyface. When they made him a heel towards the end of 99, it really pissed me off. Because he could have been like their version of like Spike Dudley.
Right.
The underdog who could overcome the odds eventually, even despite his size. And they were doing that for a while, even when they tagged him up with Kane as a tag team champions. Remember when him and Kane would go up against the Acolytes of all fucking teams? The Acolytes would fucking destroy him?
Superstars. He said Velocity. Kevin takes Superstars.
There you go. Superstars.
Pastor Dell's in the room.
Pastor's in the house?
Pastor is in the mother jumping ass. Yep.
Jesus! The other one.
Which one?
Jesus Christ is my...
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ is my nigga.
My brother doesn't know that we have a pastor, a resident pastor at Ferrantium Radio. Pastor Sadell is a fan.
Yeah, he's all right. We'll keep
him. He's a Rant EM super fan, and he's a supporter of Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yes, he is.
For almost 7 years now. So, Pastor, we love you. Thank you. Happy New Year to you, sir. Hope everything's well with you.
Back to the match.
Back to X-Pac and Gangrel.
I believe this match was really good, much better than the other two matches. This should have been the opening match.
This might be the match of the night.
No, absolutely not.
The Rock and Mankind was the.
Out of the first,
the undercard was the match.
Out of the first three, out of the undercard, this is the match out of the undercard. The match of the night was definitely the fucking.
We'll get into that in a minute. Yeah. We'll get into that in a minute.
But the spot of the night for me is when Gangrel goes to lift him up for a power bomb, and then he somehow X-Pac reverses it.
I'm sorry. Choppy is the real life underdog. Somehow he got a woman to actually marry him.
You want to know something?
Ring that bell. Ring that bell. My man Jay Grooms is getting in on Choppy.
That's okay. You want to know why?
Why?
Because at least I don't beat off every single night like he
does. Anyway. Finish your thought.
So there was that one spot where Gangrel goes for a power bomb, and then X-Pac reverses it and nails him with the fucking X-Factor.
Yeah.
Dude, I was like, whoa, what a spot. That was great. It reminded me of Billy Kidman in WCW. He used to do that shit all the time.
Reverse the.
And then after that, it was the 1-2-3, and that was it. You know what I liked about that finishing move, the X-Factor, is that he could hit it on anybody because it was one of those moves where all he had to do was kick the gut, grab the guy's head, and just smack the guy's head on the ground. That was it.
Right.
It was really well done for a guy his size, actually.
100%. And just to get back on Gangrel for a second.
Yes.
I don't think they did enough with him after the Brood.
I agree. He was just relegated to Sunday Night Heat and fucking and Shotgun Saturday Night, whatever the hell other B-show thing they had going on.
Pastor said 99 is his favorite year, hands down.
I have,
you know what?
What's up?
That's a good state. That's a fair. That might be even with ECW. Like we got a lot of ground to cover. It's only January.
99 is a lot of shit.
99 is fun. We're gonna have a what do you call it? We're gonna have a good time with that. We're just starting, so
yeah.
But I might have to agree with Pasta that 99 was like the shit.
It was good.
Yeah,
100%. I think WWF had hit its peak by 99. You know, it was like really, really done well.
At this point, they had solidified the Monday Night Wars.
Correct.
Like, okay, like here we are. Guess what?
We're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere. Correct. We're gonna take the power back.
Yep.
As Rage Against the Machine would say, a strap match for the women's title.
Oh my god, this was fucking dreadful.
What bothers me about this match is what bothered me about most women's matches in the 90s with WWF, consider most importantly, because Nitro didn't do much with the women. There were women there who can actually wrestle,
like Luna.
Thank you. And it became a shit show. You had Luna, you had Miss Jacqueline that can wrestle.
You had Ivory,
Trish, Lita, and it was
Trish not yet.
But before Trish and Lita, there were girls that can wrestle.
Yeah, but then all they wanted to show was tits and ass, and that's what Sable and fucking Deborah.
And that's what sold.
Because sex sells.
Sex did sell.
You got to remember, this is the Howard Stern era, the Jerry Springer era.
Right.
Where everything had to be tits, ass, and violence. That's correct. It. And it worked for the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And as soon as this match came on, it bothered me. I was like, fuck, man, another shitty fucking match.
And then they wanted to make Sable look like the sympathetic babyface because she got hurt early in the night because of a back injury that she had suffered.
You know I'm a tit guy, right?
I know you are.
Right?
So am I.
So I'm admiring, I love admiring tits, well, you know, bigger the better, obviously. But I'm not a big fan of fake tits, you know, because I've felt fake tits and they bothered me, you know? My issue with these fake tits, some fake tits look good. Hers, Sable's, look like a botched boob job.
Yeah,
maybe because of her age. I don't want to hate on her, but like,
well,
I never liked her. Like she never was appealing to me. Am I bugging or
no? When I saw her, I thought she was hot. In 99, I thought
you were also fucking 12 years old though.
I was 15.
15. All right, so you had your pubes. You were.
I knew it was hot. One was
okay.
Not.
Okay.
I tell you right now, Luna Vachon was not hot.
Luna Vachon could fucking wrestle though.
She could wrestle.
She just came from a long line of fucking wrestlers.
Correct. Yeah. But, it was not a good match. And the Shane McMahon involvement, oh, God. he should have stayed away from this match, for like miles away from this match.
Well, back then you said that, but now I look at that now and I'm like, this was the start of Shane McMahon.
It was, but I still didn't like it.
Shane McMahon was just a referee at that point for a
20
while.
20 years later, I still didn't fucking like it.
No, I didn't like it, but I was seeing it now. I know why Shane was involved, because they were prepping him to be more of a presence in WWF. So,
yeah, Sable wins due to the Luna's miscue. I'm putting Sable on her back,
yeah,
and carrying her across the ring, and then eventually Sable hit all four turnbuckles and won the match.
Well, let's face it, Sable liked being on her back. Ring that bell.
And then also got to remember, Ivory was making her debut. She jumped the ring and attacked Sable. Yeah. That Sable attacked Luna, and that's what made Sable win.
Yeah,
because Ivory was playing the crazed fan.
Yeah. Let's see a couple things here. Shaylin's back. Melanie says, didn't Mankind beat The Rock for the title? So bittersweet. We'll get into that in a second.
Yes.
Shaylin says, Luna and Jacqueline were great. They were. Shaylin says, Sable, in my opinion, not so much. Groom said, this was before Jackie. You're right. Then a deflated implant. Yeah. I was jumping the gun because I was trying to... I'm doing this all by memory. I don't fucking... You know, what do you want me to tell you?
And thanks for doing your homework there, buddy.
I did do my fucking homework, no, you right? Didn't. I did. All right. Well, you take one fucking 2 years now. You're in. You take fucking one night. You take notes, and you're fucking. You're
correction. Third night.
Third night. Okay.
The three times I've taken notes.
Wasn't it Nick German? Mooks. Let's play. Can we play a Nick German song?
Sure. Why not? He's a mook.
He's a
resident turbo throwback mook.
Nick. Nick.
Fucking jerk off.
He is a jerk off.
But he's our resident jerk off.
He is our resident jerk off. Well, let's get into the main event. Well, I guess the Royal Rumble's the main event.
Royal Rumble's the main event, but
it's the main event of the undercard.
This is the semi-main event.
Meltzer gave it a 3-3. Was it 3 3/4 stars?
Oh god, it was so good.
The I Quit match for the WWF heavyweight title.
Now, keep in mind, people, before this match was even made or announced, Mankind had won the belt on a Monday Night Raw taped. A couple weeks prior against The Rock. It was actually, he won the belt in 98 and didn't air until 99.
Was that the night show where Tony Schiavone blew his spot up?
Yep, and then what happened was 500,000 people tuned into Raw, and that's where Monday, and WCW was supposed to win that night in ratings. Eric Bischoff fucked up, told Tony Schiavone, hey, tell them that Mankind's going to win the belt and they should just stay watching Nitro. And lo and behold, guess what happened? People tuned into Monday Night Raw and they won the night.
So Nitro inadvertently fucking turned the tide.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Much. Yeah, Eric Bischoff is the one who thought, hey, let's give the results of that night before it even happens, and they fucked themselves.
You know what I find funny about that, too? Like, every time Eric Bischoff gets asked about certain things with that whole...
He never remembers.
He doesn't remember anything.
Yeah, he doesn't remember anything.
Meanwhile, the guy was in charge of the fucking biggest wrestling company on the planet at the time, but he doesn't remember anything.
He doesn't remember contracts. He doesn't remember saying anything to Tony Schiavone over the microphone.
Right.
Doesn't remember anything.
I love Eric.
But it's been documented footage that he's done it, and he still doesn't remember it.
If you get a chance, guys, seriously, get Eric Bischoff's book, Controversy Creates Cash. I lent it out and never got it back, but...
Two.
I forget. Mm. But I don't have it anymore. I want to read it again. Controversy Creates Cash. Eric Bischoff does talk about a lot of stories around that time in his book. But he just now when he comes on WWE programming, he just doesn't remember anything, which I think is hysterical. By
Table
the way.
For three, Jim Cornette. Oh, I don't remember that.
Look at Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah,
you stole that guy. Well, I didn't steal anybody.
No,
of course you did. You fucking stole him. Like and you could tell Bruce Pritchard was still bitter.
He was very angry.
Yeah. This was probably one of the best matches I've ever seen from that era.
And it was one of those like hard hitting, hardcore matches. Where even though it was an I Quit match, I remember the last time before this. I remember the last I Quit match I saw was Bob Backlund and fucking Bret Hart in that submission match.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Bob Backlund's like, ah, I quit, and then Roddy's like, what, you quit? So this match was fantastic. The Rock hitting Foley in the face, Foley jumping on those speakers. Explosions happen from the speakers. Then fucking Foley getting handcuffed.
Yeah.
And then Rock wailing on him on his fucking head. 15 cacao! Cacao!
I love your sound effect, dude. My man came prepared tonight.
Dude, The Rock was money.
He was.
He was a fucking heel, and he was getting cheered for every chair shot that he did. California loves The Rock.
Yeah, no. And I don't know. This didn't really, for me, though, it was all about Mick Foley.
Of course.
Because I was, I always loved Cactus. I loved ECW. I love Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, do love, whatever the case may be. But this really put Mick Foley, all of these, the cage match, the fucking I Quit match, the whole thing with Undertaker and Kane and all that. This solidified him as a superstar. And I don't think it was meant for him to be a superstar. They just knew that he would take all the fucking bumps. He was the workhorse.
Well, you want to know why? He was smart. A lot of people don't know this, but Mick Foley's an intelligent man.
Oh, 100%.
Super smart.
100%.
So he basically, what he did was, by taking all these unnecessary bumps, he created sympathy for himself. And that's what caused a lot of the fan base to gravitate towards him. Because he would take these fucking beatings.
Yeah.
The Hell in a Cell in 98 with Undertaker.
Yeah.
The Boiler Room Brawl. The match with The Rock tonight on this throwback.
Hey, guess who's in the chat room?
Who's in the chat
room? Or in the Facebook chat.
I am the king of bacon.
No, he's not.
What's up, Rage?
What's up, dude?
Nick German. The match was a total game changer. 100%.
Yep.
Nick says, if I remember correctly, after this, they banned headshots with chairs.
No, not after this.
There was
this. More? They kept doing headshots even after this. They kept going.
Melanie says it's one of her favorite matches. That's right. She told me that the other night, too. Jason Groom said, only time anybody had their ass worked as bad as Foley did is when Choppy got a proctology exam. With each hand on his
head. Wow, Jason's hating, mommy.
He's getting in on you, man. Ring that bell.
I don't know why. I don't know what I did to this man. You know what? Maybe we should ban him from the throwbacks page.
No, you can't do that. Seeing Mick with his kids and wife after that was brutal. Yeah. Didn't they film Beyond the Ring with this match?
Yes, they did.
They did, okay.
All right. The kids were crying. Wife was crying. And she goes up to Mick. She goes, don't you ever put me and the kids ever through that ever again.
Passes down. Look at the book sales. Yeah.
Yeah.
He became a bestseller.
I'm telling you, all the beatings that he took made him a created sympathy for this character.
You like Mick Foley, wouldn't you? You're a Cactus Shack fan, right, Mike?
Yeah, I started with ECW.
You did? He had no choice. I forced everybody in my family to watch ECW. I'm sorry.
You're a good man, I'll tell you.
I
loved ECW.
I was an advocate for ECW because of my age and the era and the fucking... It was a great time to be a wrestling fan.
ECW reminded me of like the grunge. You know, remind me of grunge era.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it was just
100%
fantastic.
100%. And we'll talk about The Rock for a second.
The Rock, yes. I mean, The Rock was just
the man.
In 99, nobody could touch him on the mic.
No,
nobody.
Nope. And
not even Stone Cold.
And you can tell the chemistry he had with him. My favorite Rock matches are still with him and Triple H. But
which year?
Any year,
really?
Anytime. SummerSlam. Did they fight in SummerSlam? Right.
I think my favorite match with him and Triple H was 1998, Fully Loaded. Two out of three falls. That match was
great. Him and Triple H had so much great chemistry. Him and Mick Foley had a special bond in terms of like character wise and promos, and when they had a Rock and Sock connection. Yeah. And
I mean, Foley even stated. Rock even stated that Foley will let him do stuff that most human beings would not want.
And again, this is why Mick Foley walks with a limp now, because he's crippled because he put his body on the line all the time.
And if I'm not mistaken, Michael Hayes was the one who said, you know, if Foley keeps doing the type of style he does, he will not be able to walk by the time he's 30.
Jason Groom says he loves you.
I love you too, buddy.
I love you, Chops, he says. If you saw the size of Jason Groom, I don't think you'd be talking shit to him, though.
What?
He's a massive man.
Good for him.
He will beat you up.
I'm glad he would.
He would fucking tear you. He would take your legs off and beat you with them.
Would he tear my ass up?
He would. Ooh. he would tear his ass up.
You like that ass?
You like this ass?
You better like this ass.
No lie. Yeah. Nick German said no one touched. Nobody today in WWE could touch The Rock on a microphone.
I agree. Absolutely.
People, when you talk about The Rock to some of our fans and to some of our peers, The Rock sometimes gets lost in translation because he wasn't an over-the-top amazing wrestler. he was a showman.
No, I thought he was a good wrestler.
I thought he was sound.
No, not solid.
Ring that bell.
Dude, he was a great, great fucking wrestler. I've seen matches where...
I don't know if he's a great wrestler. I think he was good. He was great. His character was great. He was untouchable at one point. Mike, what do you think, Mike?
For him, I think it was more the character.
Yeah? Because, absolutely. I mean...
Absolutely. He's not... From the beginning, even before he had, like, that The Rock persona, it was all...
Yeah.
All character.
I mean, in 99, it was all character, but as 2000 hit, his matches, bro, were so good. I remember him in the Iron Man match with him and Triple H for an hour.
The game.
And then, you know what was the best... You know what was the best Rock match I've ever seen? It was him, Kurt Angle, Undertaker, Vengeance 2002.
Yeah, he was a showman.
You got to watch that match.
100%, man.
Triple threat match for the WWE title. It was Rock, Angle, and Undertaker.
Yeah.
That match is so fucking good.
I'm not saying he was bad. I'm just saying, like, there were better guys in the ring sound than him.
I agree, but I'm not saying he's a lot of guys are saying he was serviceable or good.
No, he was a showman. He was good.
Okay, so would you compare him to Honky Tonk Man? Because a lot of people consider him
Honky
a showman.
Honky Tonk Man was fucking awful.
Okay, so... But he was not. But people could say he was a showman.
Right, he was 1989 showman. I'm talking. The Rock had the complete package. The Rock was. He was. He had the look.
He had the strudel.
He had the strudel. Right, Lillian Garcia.
Exactly.
Grooms. He said the only guys who were better than Rock on a mic was Cena and Punk.
You're out of your mind.
You know who was better than all of them? Ric Flair
and Dusty.
Frank Rizzo does a hell of a promo here. Thank you very much. The Rock was fantastic. Nice knowing you. Nice. She just cut me off. Thanks. Good job, Phil. Pastor said, the match I wanted at Mania never happened. Rock and Triple H. Thank you, Pastor Sadell. See, me and Pastor Sadell fucking know.
That match should have happened. Why did we have a four-way?
Because that was the way, man. They fucking booked all the... Because they want to include everybody. Everybody gets a fair shake. It's 1999, 98, and 2000. That's what fucking happens.
It was retarded. The match that we were supposed to get at Mania, we got a Backlash the month afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember that shit?
Yeah. We'll talk about that, too, in a couple of months.
Of course.
You know, and then it's just, for me, though, I loved, don't get me wrong, I loved The Rock. I just thought there were better guys in the ring than him.
I agree.
Thought Austin was better. I thought,
no way.
Are you kidding
not
me?
Not now. Not in 99. Absolutely not.
What?
Nope.
Bro. You're out of your mind.
No. You want to know why? Because
you're out of your mind.
Listen, The Rock the Stone Cold in 99 was not the best performer. I'm sorry.
And I don't want to say he was the best, but he was better than fucking Rock.
No, he was not.
All right.
Absolutely not. I disagree. Once he got his neck surgery fixed, then he was better than The Rock.
All right.
Because his neck was hindering him from doing stuff that he could do as stunning Steve Austin or even fucking Stone Cold before the neck injury with Owen Hart. Sorry. Mm. It is what it is. If it be that way, let it be.
What?
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 It doesn't matter. Ken,
you're such a dick. You know that's going to make me laugh all the time. Oh, man.
Yeah. What do you say about The Rock? My heart is bleeding. I don't dislike The Rock. I'm saying there's better wrestlers. I'm not saying there's a big...
You know which match was also really good with The Rock?
Which one?
Him and Benoit.
Dude, everybody with Benoit.
That match was fucking amazing.
Because Benoit was a fucking workhorse, man. I'm telling you. And you know what? Not for nothing. The Rock made guys look good, too. I'm not saying Kurt Angle was bad, but he made Kurt Angle look very fucking good. I'm not an Undertaker guy, but he made Taker look good.
I'm not an Undertaker guy either.
But Triple H. I'm sorry, Triple H. I thought I loved Triple H.
So did I. I'm a Triple H mark.
I love Triple H.
Him and Triple H had the best chemistry. From 97 to 2001, they were always feuding over something. It was good.
Yeah, but The Rock, I mean, The Rock was good in the ring. I'm not saying he was amazing. People are like, oh, he's the best wrestler.
He was good.
He was good. He wasn't great. I'm sorry, he wasn't great.
I wouldn't say he was great, but he was very, very good.
Right. I'm not saying he's serviceable. I'm saying he was good in the ring.
I've seen a lot of great Rock matches. That's because a lot of people, you got to remember, it takes two to make a great match.
And that's why him and Triple H, man. Him and Trips, him and Foley.
What about him and Lesnar at 2002 SummerSlam? That match was fantastic.
Isn't that when the Warrior came back and beat Triple H? No, that was 90...
The Warrior?
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior. Did he fight SummerSlam? No, that was 97.
That was 1996 at WrestleMania 12.
No, I'm talking about SummerSlam, right? Didn't Triple H fight him at SummerSlam?
No, he fought him at
WrestleMania?
WrestleMania 96.
Okay. All right.
This fucking guy.
The
And you're the Messiah of
I am, because again,
and the Yoda of yesteryear.
I am. Ring the bell.
You jerk off.
Don't bang the bell, motherfucker. We only got one left.
I'll get another
Will
one.
Will Morgan's in the room. What up, Will? You get to check out the Sports Report every Monday after Raw.
Will.
On the rant. Triple H.
My Dragon Ball Z buddy.
My Dragon Ball Z buddy. Anime peeps. Any other thoughts about the Rock?
No.
Mike? The Rock? Mick Foley? Anything? Any thoughts? I know you got your list. Your seven things we didn't know about the Royal Rumble. We'll get into that in a little. Yeah, you still have your list pulled up?
Huh.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. So, let's see.
The main event.
Match-wise. Angle made everyone better.
Yeah. I agree.
There was a time, right around this time, right after, when I can't disagree with you.
I would say from 2001 to like 2004
three.
Or 3.
Yeah.
Angle was the best wrestler in that company. In the world, probably.
All right. Ready?
Yeah,
ready for the Rumble?
Yeah, do it.
Let's get you all the participants first.
Okay.
Okay. We had Mr. McMahon, of course. Al Snow. Billy Gunn. China. D'Lo Brown with Jacqueline and Terry Reynolds.
PMS.
Yep, PMS. Dan the Beast Severin.
I forgot Dan the Beast was in this.
Mike liked Dan Severin. Draws before he was crippled.
Oh,
Edge, Gangrel, Gilbert. Goldust. Golga.
Oh, Earthquake.
Which was Earthquake. Rest in peace. Jeff Jarrett, Slapnuts with Deborah.
Deborah's Big Titties.
With Deborah's Big Titties. We don't mention Deborah, Mike. We saw Deborah with the big titties.
Okay.
Kane, as my son would say, the big red retard. Ken Shamrock, Kurgan.
Kurgan, I love Kurgan.
Rest in peace, Mabel. Mark Henry, rest in peace, Owen Hart. Steve Austin. Steve motherfucking Blackman.
He was badass,
loved
dude.
Fucking Steve
Blackman.
You
want Blackman. To talk about tough wrestlers? That motherfucker was tough.
Rest in peace, Test. Rest in peace, Big Boss Man. Blue Meanie, the Godfather, the Road Dog. Tiger Ali Singh.
I forgot he was in this.
He was. Triple H, Val Venus. Hello, ladies. And X-Pac. 56 minutes, 38 seconds was the entire time of the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I have the entire list of...
Please all right. Do.
Steve Austin was the first in. Number one, he eliminated Golga. Edge eliminated Gilbert. Mabel eliminated Dan Severin, Steve Blackman, Tiger Ali Singh, the Blue Meanie, and Draws.
That was a record at the time.
At the time. Kane broke that record, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and then Roman Reigns beat
him. Roman Reigns, right. The Road Dogg eliminated Edge. Mabel eliminated... who did he eliminate? I can't even read that.
I can't read it. Forget it.
Road Dogg eliminated Gangrel. Road Dogg eliminated Al Snow. And then here comes Kane.
Road Dogg.
Kurgan. Godfather. Goldust. Steve Austin eliminates Ken Shamrock. Steve Austin eliminates Billy Gunn.
And then Test.
Big Boss Man eliminates X-Pac. And then here comes Triple H. Eliminates Jeff Jarrett. China was number 30.
Yep.
Right? And this is when she had the storyline, rest in peace, with Mark Henry. A sexual chocolate. Which was one of my favorite.
What was the name of the transvestite?
Oh, no.
Candy? Sandy?
Candy.
I think it was Sandy.
Sandy Kane? Ow. Yeah. Yeah, Opie and Anthony fans, you know about Sandy Kane, her twatto. Ow. Twatto. Fucking people. They named her Vag Twatto. So she was number 30. She eliminates Mark Henry. Then Steve Austin eliminates China. When did Steve Austin stun her? Was that in the Garden? I was there for that, though.
That was
99, though, right? That was before that?
He stunned China in 1998.
I was there.
It,
in Madison Square Garden.
I think it was MSG.
I was there for that.
Bro, when he did it to a woman... The crowd went.
We went
lost
fucking,
their
yeah, dude,
fucking minds.
We lost our minds. Collectively lost our minds. Triple H eliminates Val Venus. Steve Austin eliminates Triple H. Eliminates Owen Hart. Big Boss Man eliminates D'Lo Brown. And then it was Steve Austin, Big Boss Man, and Mr. McMahon. So Steve Austin eliminates Big Boss Man. And then Vince comes back in the ring after not being there for like a half hour. And he eliminates Steve Austin.
Well, let's
I'm sorry, preface it. I'm sorry.
The Rock distracted Steve Austin, and then McMahon came out of nowhere and threw him out the ring, making him the winner of the 30-man Royal Rumble of 1999. And the best part of the whole match, he grabs a couple of Steve Weisers.
Yes.
And he starts pouring the beer like if he was Steve Austin on the fucking turnbuckles. It was so funny.
I'll tell you my initial thoughts when I first saw this in 99, but let me get everybody around the room. Mike, this was your time, dude. You just got into it. Were you upset that Vince won?
Well, of course I was.
Yeah.
With Steve Austin being as big as he was.
Right.
You know. But yeah. First of all, I'd actually like to say, I'll make the first PC comment of the night. That was history actually made that night with China being the first female wrestler in the Royal Rumble.
Correct.
You are correct, sir.
You are correct, sir. And she was number 30, right?
Yep, number 30.
I did mention that, okay. I wanted to make sure.
Do you want to know why she was number 30?
Oh, what happened?
She arm wrestled Vince McMahon.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I'm sorry. They had a DX versus Corporation.
DX versus Corporation, right.
But then
there was another,
the week afterwards, she arm wrestled McMahon and then beat the shit out of Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe.
The fucking Stooges. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Fucking great. All right. Choppy, your initial thoughts on when you first saw it? When I first saw this pay-per-view,
I thought it was magic when McMahon led fucking Stone Cold into the bathroom so the Corporation could beat his ass. That kept Austin out of the match for the rest of the night. And then what was also really good? And then just McMahon acting like a fucking fool. Especially the training montages with him and Shane. The Rocky stuff with him chasing the fucking chicken. It was hysterical.
It's awesome.
I hate Austin! And he had his fingers on it. I hate Austin! Shit was so... It was gold, dude.
Fucking gold,
man.
It
was gold.
Fucking gold. I didn't like Vince's champion. That bothered me.
Well, he didn't win the belt. You know why?
He won the belt eventually, but
he won the belt in later in '99 because of Triple H being thorn in the
throat. Right. And that, I love that. But him winning the Rumble kind of put a bad taste in my mouth. I wanted Austin to win. I was a big Austin guy at the time. I had three Austin shirts. I got one of them that month. I got that the last one after Christmas.
I never got any merch.
Oh no! I seldom got. I got ECW merch. I had Public Enemy. I had the Eliminators. Right. I had ECW. I had Tommy. I had an ECW shirt. I had ECW swag, but I didn't. The only WWF stuff I got was Austin.
You know. I would ask my parents for swag for WWF and WCW, and my dad would be like, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself?" He would literally say, "Aren't you ashamed for wearing wrestling? It's fake."
Did they have wrestling in Portugal, right? Did they show it on TV?
No, they did.
Oh, they did.
They showed WWF for 3 weeks.
Three weeks behind.
I remember going there, and it was 93 or 94. I saw Yokozuna doing the bonsai drop on Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's funny.
With the flag draped over.
That's fucking funny.
I thought it was hysterical. I was like, wait a minute, I just saw this. I was 9 years old when that happened.
That's fucking funny as hell. That is funny as hell.
But, what I used to watch in Portugal was a lot of WCW because I had TNT. In Portugal, I didn't have anything else to watch. WWF.
What's up, Sal? Sal from Sacred Heart says Chuck and I are proud to announce the return of FTW to Sacred Heart. So, which means we'll be back in Glendale.
Yeah,
calling the action.
Yeah,
Sal. Am I assuming that is that why you're saying you're announcing it in the room that you're going to have Chops and I back on color commentary? We would love to if you have us back.
If you want us to, sure.
Thanks to you and Chuck always. But yeah, man, you guys gotta go to FEW show if you're local.
Dude,
you gotta go.
They got some great talent over
and
there.
They're fun, and it's I get to go home. So April 5th. Oh, wait a minute. April 5th.
Oh,
I'm sorry, sir. I'll be at
G1.
At G1, yeah.
We're going to G1, sir. I'm sorry. We'll be at Madison Square Garden.
We'll be at the Garden. Phil's favorite team, the Eliminators. That's right, Will Morgan.
I'm really sorry, dude.
Yeah, April 5th's rough. Shit.
Damn it. I mean,
I will make the next one, though.
If we have another one at Sacred Heart, we'll definitely go.
No, they do a couple a year.
Yeah, at least three or four a year.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, we'll be at the Madison Square Garden for New Japan that night.
G1.
Oh,
God.
Steve Blackman's a bail bondsman.
Yes, he is.
Matt Squires.
Yes, he is. I know that.
We love Steve Blackman. We're going to do some more Steve Blackman shit, though. We have to.
What, head cheese him and Al Snow? What about, yeah, that's when he was trying to develop charisma.
Oh, wait, G1's April 6th. April 5th, you know what? I'll be, April 5th is a Friday. I'll be at
NXT.
You could do the show.
But you know.
Well, I mean, you could do so. You could go at least.
I could go see the show. Yeah,
you can rep. Yeah, you can rep us and wear the shirt. So we'll send somebody over there from Sal. Don't worry about it. And Sal always sells the place anyway, so it doesn't matter at this point. It's a win-win for everybody. The community just loves it over there.
Correct.
What else is going on? I think. So all in all, what are we giving this pay-per-view?
If I were to give it like, I would say I'd give it like 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. I'll say 3 and a 5, Mike.
I mean, I'll go with that because it's the end of it. Definitely
saved
pulled,
it.
Yeah, definitely pulled it together.
Yeah, The Rock definitely and Mankind in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It's nice that the WWF at the time, which is the WWF, did that a lot. They had the shitty card and then they cleaned it up at the end. WCW did the opposite. They opened up great and finished fucking terrible.
But the I've told this to you. I've told it to a bunch of people. WWF around this time was not known for great matches. They were known for great moments, you know? With Austin with the Zamboni, Austin with the fucking beer truck, where he sprayed Shane, Vince, and The Rock with fucking beer. I mean, there was a lot of great moments. I don't remember the matches too much, but the moments I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I thought the match, to me, the best match of 99 was probably this match.
Yeah.
I that's sad to say because there's some pretty good ones, but this is probably the best match of 99 because it was so well told by The Rock and Mankind.
I mean, yeah,
it was
100%.
Really well done.
100%. 100%. This is only the beginning, so 1999 is big.
So much.
And we're going to have so much fun. I mean, we're going to do ECW. We're going to be doing WCW, Force WWF, Japan. I got some stuff from Japan I want to do. And we'll do some next. We got a lot of stuff planned. Like we're gonna be a little more active this year. A lot more active, I should say. I'm sorry. This has been. I'm so glad to be back.
And I'm hopefully this will be the permanent home.
Yeah,
Studio C. Hopefully this is the permanent home of.
Yeah, we're gonna. I mean, this is just like I said. Literally, the camera came out of the box right before we started.
It's gonna be a much better setup as the weeks progress.
Yes.
We're gonna look a little bit more professional. We'll have like a backdrop behind us.
Yeah.
And, I think you're going to. I think
it's and more guests. We got some already confirmed. A couple of guests. Well, not, let's not blow it up. Let's sit on it and wait and let's advertise it when it comes.
I think I'm going to try to get a chat with Mr. Ken Resnick and see if I can get him.
That was great yesterday, by the way, with Ken Resnick.
I got to see if I can get this motherfucker on the show,
Mr. Killer Ken Resnick. Anyway, over 270 comments tonight in the chat room. So thank you very much for everybody listening live tonight. We appreciate it.
Oh, guys, you really do love us.
You love me. You really, really love me. He was from The Mask, right?
Yes.
That was awesome. Mike, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you.
Actually, you had no choice because you were coming to visit me for the weekend.
Yeah. So.
Thanks
for hanging out with this mook.
With this fucking jerk off over here.
This guy.
Michael helped me big today, so thank you very much for that.
You like this man? You better like this man.
Melanie said, forget the backdrop. We love Killer Elmo.
Yes!
we'll put him behind the curtain.
Wait. How is a fucking Elmo toy more over than the actual... the hosts of the show.
Listen, I never said I was a great host. I said I was the host.
Jesus Christ. You really are the worst.
I am. Ring the bell. I am the worst. Ring the fucking bell. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. I need to dance, you fucker. Can't you see it? I need to jerky boys. I need to dance. I'm going to dance right in your ass, you scumbag. That's Jack Torres, for those that didn't know. All right. Thank you everybody again for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week. And again, thank you to everybody. And I just want to just end it with this. I was on Instagram this morning, and I got a really inspirational message. Not me, everybody did. Everybody who was on Toby Morse's page from H2O. And he said, you know, if you're having a hard time, message me. I messaged him, and he wrote back a lot, and we had a nice exchange. And Toby set shit in motion for me today. I was more motivated. I was very happy to be alive today. And 4 days into the new year, it's been really good so far. So again, thank you to everybody reaching out. It's really, really important. And better things ahead, you know. And we're gonna do it. We'll do it big. We're gonna fucking kick ass. We got the Rumble coming up in a couple of weeks. We have more content. We got the all the stuff. WrestleMania weekend is coming to New York, New Jersey. It's going to be fucking insane. Death to Elmo. That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Will Morgan. Thank you, Will Morgan. And it's going to be fucking great, man. It's going to be great.
It's going to be super.
It's going to be super. So check it out. Don't forget to listen to all the shows on Rant and Yam Radio, Shining Wizards Network. Whoever we plug tonight, Tony's guy, his
thing. Oh, yes. Hold on.
One more time. Plug Cousin Richie's Beyond the Belts. Mike, you plug. You're not doing anything, right? You're not doing you got your YouTube page up yet? No, right? Mike, soon you're a YouTube page? No, yet, not yet, right?
No, not up yet.
I will plug it soon.
So, one more time. Tony has two auctions going on eBay for former wrestler Jerry Gray. Again, he says they're pretty good items. Just check it out on eBay. I'm assuming Tony already put the link on the page.
He did.
So go through the comments section. You'll find the link and check it out, guys.
Yeah.
Tony always has good shit.
Yeah, he's all right. We'll keep him around.
Fuck you. Tony's great.
All right. Are we ready to get out of here?
It's up to you.
All right. Let's play some music.
See?
Yeah, CCC. So, anyway. So you guys know all the deals, man. Social media, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have shirts and Pro Wrestling Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com/TomBuckleThreatBrex.
Yep.
Buy a shirt. Be a mark. We have four different designs, right?
Yep.
iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, Podcast Addict, we're everywhere right now, so go get it.
Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Choppy2984 on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram, Choppy2984, and you can follow us on Facebook.
At Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Twitter, at T-Buckle T-Backs on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Instagram. And that's it, man. Mike, you got anything? You on social media, right?
Anything?
No, nothing, right?
Good,
you're good, you're good. Yeah, you're good, you fucking milky liquor.
Good God.
So on behalf of my baby brother, on behalf of my tag team partner Choppy, I'm the Impact player, Philly Raya. Running low, take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, don't say those nasty words. Be nice to fucking people, man. It's 2019, okay? And just do the fucking, do it. Oh, Lisa says great show. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
My little Dr. Doolittle. All right. So Choppy will save the spot for you. Sal's going to save the spot for you.
All right, cool.
On the stage.
All right.
There you go. All right. So, guys, we love you. We love you the best. Please have a great rest of your year. And we're done.
Good night, Gracie.
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night.
All right.